Did you ever piss on a one-night stand?
Oh, many I pissed on a girlfriend I dated for years. I pissed on her probably 20 times.
What is she? 20 times? Well, same girl?
We dated for years, and I would drink a lot.
So you was it booze-related?
Yeah, when I black out or anything like that, I always wet the bed. I don't anymore, but I did until I was probably like 25.
Wow.
Yeah, only blackout.
Welcome, everybody, to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. The first one of 2017. Actually, I'm recording this in 2016, the intro. I'm recording the intro and the podcast in 2016, and then I'll do the outro in 2017, probably the day I upload it, on Monday, maybe Monday. New Year's is tomorrow. What's everybody going to do? Man, I hope there's some big... Who's the last celebrity who's going to die? Who's going to be the last celebrity to go? Everybody's talking about it. It's got to be one more. First of all, it's not the lady with her fucking kid. No one knew that lady's name. The Star Wars mom. Nobody knew her name. Until now. Nobody's a big fucking Debbie Reynolds sort of name. Debbie Reynolds fan. Nobody's a Debbie Reynolds fan and went, oh, too soon. Oh, Debbie Reynolds. If I asked you a question fucking a year ago, is Debbie Reynolds still alive? It'd be 50-50 on which one of my friends would know. 50-50. And the ones that did know, I would suspect of being homosexual. So she's gone. It ain't sad. She was a shitty mom. She brought her kid to the fucking play all the time. Come watch me be a play. Actors are the worst. Come watch me be a star. Hey, daughter, come watch me be a star. You can see fucking grips getting blown in the back. I'm sure this won't turn you into a chronic alcoholic for the rest of your life. Terrible mom. Sick of these terrible people. Anyway, like Ronda Rousey losing, you guys. Guess what? You're done. People know how to fight now, and you're not equipped. And I love it. That's your legacy. Yeah, you started off by fucking being the only person who could fight. That's your legacy. 6-2 in the UFC. How amazing. 6-2. Handled defeat, one of the worst, least competitive person in fucking UFC history. She's your hero. Get a better hero. Too harsh, Ari. Too harsh to close out 2016. 2017, let's be more positive. It is fun, though, when you're watching UFC to really root against somebody. Really let them get you as the fucking heel and say, fuck him. I hate him. We had a viewing party in Scotland. And I was me and two other guys were the only ones rooting for fucking Nate Diaz. I had a 209 tattooed across my chest. Everybody else was rooting for Connor. We're like, fuck you. Fuck, just screaming at each other. Man, it's fun to watch those fights sometimes like that. All right, everybody. Well, on today's episode, let's get into it, I guess. By the way, you can find this podcast on Laughable, the Laughable app. Wonderful app. You can find anything you want. You can find other people's podcasts. So like whoever I have as the guest today, for instance, is Mark Norman. If you listen to this on Laughable, right below this podcast, you'll see a button to click for Mark Norman, and you can open up and see what podcast he's in, and you can see his tour dates, you know, and like shit like that. You can see what podcast he's been a guest on and which one he has. So right there, you click and be like, Tuesdays with Stories, one of his podcasts. You fucking click on it. Tuesdays with Stories, it does with Joe List. Boom. Now you're subscribed. It's great. Also, it's super usable in terms of like fast forwarding and rewinding and pausing and stuff. You should check it out. Also, if you like me, it has my tour dates, which are zero right now, on there. But if you click on Mark Norman, you'll see where he's playing. He might be playing in your town real soon. All right. So today's episode, I had a problem when I was little. I was a bedwetter, everybody. I was a teenage bedwetter for a while. And I found out recently that so was Mark Norman. So he came in, or actually had me over to his apartment to share on the subject. He bought an apartment, you guys. Mark Norman bought an apartment. He fucking scrimped and saved with the fucking money he gets for opening for Schumer. He would eat chicken wings. He eats chicken wings off people's plates. If you're at the Comedy Cellar and you finish off five chicken wings and they go to clear your plate, Mark will be like, hey, where are you going so fast? I don't do impressions. Hey, where, don't go not so fast with that chicken wing. It sounds like, what does that sound like? Who's that old Jewish comic? That's who it sounds like. I'm literally trying to do Mark Norman. Hey, give me that chicken wing. I lost it. Jackie something? Not Gleason. Jackie something? Yeah, and so he'd fucking get his fill somewhere else, and now he bought it, put a down payment on a goddamn apartment. So he's a homeowner. So I went over to his new apartment. It was the first one to record, and anything in his apartment. Barely even set up. He takes me through a walking tour of his. It's so amazing. Such an adult thing to get some equity. I talked all about this in which special? Passive aggressive. And we talked about bedwetting. It was very, very, he opened up, Mark. Thank you very much for opening up. He was very vulnerable. We were both very vulnerable, you guys. It's brave of him. It's brave of both of us to be so vulnerable. It's not that often that you see a comedian really be vulnerable and show his bravery as we did in this podcast. We were really brave. We're two brave comedians. You know, a lot of comics don't rise to the occasion like we do. They'll, you know, be busy with their fart jokes and their observational material. Funny act outs. Alternative sketches. But are you brave? I don't think so, low roaders. I don't think so. Would I say what we did today was an inspiration? Well, good question. I would say we were inspirational to the millions of people who suffer from late-term childhood bedwetting. So yeah, in a big way, I would say we're inspirational. And we're an inspiration to those people. Doesn't have to be it's so lowbrow, you guys, other comics. You can be like Mark Norman and I and show bravery and inspiration in your comedy. Just think about it. Think about overcoming that temptation to go the easy way and do what Mark Norman and I do. None of that cheap shit. On this podcast called Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 289, Tales of a Teenage Bedwetter. So I did some research on what bedwetting is. And first of all, it is not related to... should I talk about this in the outro? Maybe I'll talk about this in the outro after the new year and just research later. No, I'll just do it now. I already did the research. It's not related to fucking child abuse. It can be from like stress or a new environment. And now that I think about it, when I started bedwetting, my first memories weren't until I moved to Maryland from North Carolina. So perhaps the new environment got me, nutty like that. You know? But they also said it's genetic, and that would mean that my dad would have had to have bedwetting. And he never mentioned that. He never mentioned bedwetting. So you got to assume he didn't. I mean, the whole time I was bedwetting till I was like, you know, pretty late, he never mentioned, just so you know, I was too. He was pretty cool about it, you know, did all sorts of stuff to help me through, but like he would have mentioned it. Unless he didn't realize. I mean, he would have been bedwetting, you know, in the Holocaust. So maybe that wasn't the biggest part of his memory, you know? Yeah, he would have been a Holocaust bedwetter, a fucking camp, concentration camp bedwetter. Man, that would have been just the worst of the worst. You're already in a bunk with seven people. It's not built for seven. It's built for two. So you got seven people. Granted, we're all thinner. Because of the starvation, because of the forced starvation and stuff. So everyone's a little thinner, but it's still the equivalent of like, at most you can get three people in there. Cram four. You know, a couple, maybe the guy holds his head on her shoulders. Four that way. No funny stuff. We're all, you know, crammed in. But you get seven. That's already not comfortable. That's thing one wrong with the Holocaust. And then on top of that, you wake up in the middle of the night so uncomfortable, so uncomfortable. You probably were at that place where, when you're dreaming. Jews dream. Jews in the Holocaust probably dream too. And you remember when you wake up and you don't even know who you are for a minute? You have no idea. You're like, oh, maybe I'm back. And then you're like, look up. You're like, wait, what? Am I in a dorm? What? And they're like, oh, that's right. I'm in the Holocaust. Fuck. And so then, you're like, oh, all right, time to get up. You know, got to fucking bury some of my friends. Some of them are going to die. You know, it's going to suck today. If I stub my toe, they're going to shoot me. And then you're like, I guess I'll get it. And then you're like, sort of feel down, smell. What's that smell? And it's like, what? Am I? It's fucking what? Oh, that Shafir kid's a bedwetter? I'm fucking soaked. I'm fucking soaked. This is awful. I hate this place. I hate it. Let me out of here. So, yeah. Yeah, it'd be pretty bad. So I found some famous bedwetters. Okay, just so you know, because you're like, who's had bedwetting if you're out there with his bedwetter? Other people were, you guys. Other people were. Jennifer Lawrence, Hunger Games. Maybe she was hungry for something to drink late at night when she should have been not doing anything. Michael Landon, anybody remember him from Little House on the Prairie? I don't remember that episode where they talk about bedwetting. I don't remember that episode. Also, I don't remember any episodes of Little House on the Prairie. I just remember it being a show. So he was one. Suzanne Somers from Three's Company, where she had that. She was one of the biggest stars in the world, you guys. Bedwetter. She was a giant TV star, Jennifer Aniston style, when there's only like a channel and a half on. So anybody that was big then was massive. And she was massive. She was so cute. She had that later. She fucking started hawking workout equipment. Thighmaster. That's what it was called. The Thighmaster. It was this fucking fork she stuck in between. A giant foam fork. Hard foam. And she'd fucking squeeze her legs together. Just like Kegel exercises. But not with your puss. But with your knees. Just, you know that thing with your hands to make their grip stronger? That it's like a wishbone, but you have to pull them together. It's like that for your fucking, you put your knee in your knees, and the middle you put like in your vag, and you just fucking squeeze them. The Thighmaster. She was hawking that on late night TV. One of the biggest stars in the world, in America, to that. Weird. Maybe the Thighmaster is the way she stopped pissing. Strengthening up those muscles. Bedwetting effects. We were wrong in this podcast. Mark, I think, said 1 in 8. Somebody said 1 in 8. It's not. It's 4 in 25 women. No, 4 in 100 women, 2 in 100 men. So 1 in 25 women, 1 in 50 men, or 2 in 50 women, men, and 1 in 50 women. Yeah. So not very many. Not very many. But Ari, you might say, who went on to be funny? It was a bedwetter. Who? Me? Mark Norman, a little woman called Sarah Silverman. Yeah, bedwetter. We can go on to do great things. Sure, but is comedy a great thing? Is acting a great thing? Who's done public service, you might say? Who that was a bedwetter went on to do something great for this country? Well, how's this for great? How about taking us through the Great Depression? How about leading this goddamn country out of World War II or one? Which one was it? Two. Yeah, that's right. People who probably have never guessed who I'm talking about. A little man called Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You don't see many Delanos around anymore. It's not a popular name. Popular president. The Delano never caught on. I feel like Seinfeld today. I should start this podcast. Oh, and then later, Franklin Delano Roosevelt got polio. And he had to wear diapers because he was stuck in a wheelchair. He went from bedwetter as a kid to fine, free of it. And then God gives this great fucking man, motherfucking, put him back in a diaper. He gave him polio and put him right back in a diaper. He had to piss himself again. Anyway, so those are the great things about what's it called? Bedwetters. Yeah, I don't know. This Is Not Happening is over now, you guys. A new episode will be up online on YouTube. If YouTube, this is not happening playlist. Don't buy the things aside. Those are the TV episodes, the shortened versions. I don't know why they're selling them. But go on YouTube and you can see the full-length version of each one. Every Tuesday, a new one goes up. And Australia and Canada, it's up there too now. Congratulations. Just this season. And in Canada, it's on Crave TV, seasons 1 and 2. So check that out. We've already started planning for next season, June. We're doing it in late May or early June. We got some good commitments already. Jim Brewer said he'd do it again. Jim Norton wanted to do it. Said he would do it. Drew Carey wanted to do it. Kevin Smith said maybe. We got some good people already and some returning people. Obviously, Jay's going to come back. Obviously. Diaz is coming back to do another story. He's going to do every year. Sean Patton is doing another one. Hell yes. Cumin. I bought him some Tony Satcheries. I bought Sean Patton some Tony Satcheries for Christmas. I saw it and I was like, yeah, I'll get you some. If you don't know that story, go to This Is Not Happening. Sean Patton or Cumin, and you'll see. Oh man, so funny. Tons of people coming back. Bert probably. Tom Segura, hopefully. Good luck in your weight loss challenge, you fucking idiots. There's no way. I bet one of them gains weight. If I had to guess, I bet one of them gains weight. And the other one stays about the same, maybe loses a couple pounds. But we'll see. That'd be fun. They'll be on Rogan's podcast if I get this up early enough. He said he was going to have the weigh-ins on his podcast. That'll be cool. But do me a favor. And if you want someone to be on This Not Happening, just start bugging them. Don't bug me. Bug them. Say, hey, tell your agent to fucking get you on This Is Not Happening next season. Get 6 months to prepare a story. If you like somebody big, fucking bother them. If they're too small, they don't know how to get through, then they won't get through. But a big person will get through. You know, like if Jim Jeffries wanted to do it, he could just call his agent and say, hey, tell those guys I want to do their show or talk to them about it. And or he could tell, like, hey, what's the show? You know, if people don't even know about it. Killer Mike would be cool for sure. But whoever you guys like, fucking start a campaign to bug them to do the show. If you want to see them do a story. If you don't think they'd be a good story, you know, don't bother them. Stephen Hawkins probably would be boring. Anyway, so the season's over. Thank you all very much for tuning in. We'll be back in whenever with a new one. All right, you guys. I hope everyone has a great 2017. I really do. I had a fucking killer 2016. I'm hoping for 2017 to be the same. I don't really care about the New Year's, but I did do goals this year. I want to read more. 2 more books. Let's start the episode. We're taking too long, you guys. I'm taking too long. I don't think there's anything else, right? Let's just start. Yeah, sure, let's start. 2016's done. I'll see you in 2017 in like 2 hours. I don't know, you guys. I didn't have a bad 2016. I really had a fun. I went through a bunch of countries. I spent a month in Scotland. Made a bunch of new friends. I played 4 new countries this year. I went to 4 new countries this year. Iceland. Had a great time with Ariel Jarn in Iceland. Amazing time. Probably the highlight of my year was going to Iceland. A wonderful 2016. I ate some dope meals. Fuck some women that are so far out of my league. Everything was great for me. Made a season of This Is Not Happening, of a TV show. My 3rd season. It's unheard of. Recorded a special. Oh, how did I leave that till last? I had a great time. Yeah. 2016 was awesome for me. Yeah, so some guy didn't fucking, nobody good won the election. Anyway, you know, whatever. There are no Cosby rapes this year. But, you know, whatever. So we lost some people. So we lost Doris Day. Whatever her name was, I forgot. But you know who we don't think? Yeah, okay, there's more celebrities now. So we see these people. You know, we're like, oh no, we lost Prince. We lost fucking, you know, Ziggy Stardust, and we lost Willy Wonka, and the star, and the Princess Leia, Kramer, you know, he might still be alive. Whoever else we lost, a bunch of big people, a bunch of mediocre people, you know, but a lot of big people. So we lost them. They weren't still doing stuff. It wasn't like, oh no, when's that new fucking So we lose Princess Leia. So what do we get? We don't get any stupid goddamn callbacks in Star Wars movies. She shouldn't be in them anymore anyway. That's just nostalgia. That's just member berries. You know what we don't know? The people that were born this year. Yeah, we lost these people in 2016, but we won't know the overall positive or negative for like 30, 40 years. You go 40 years from now, 50 years from now, you go like, yeah, 2016 was terrible. We lost Princess Leia and her dumb mom. You know, we lost Prince. We lost David Bowie. They're like, yeah, those are bad. But Zach Stardust was born that year. Like, Zach Stardust. That's too close to Ziggy Stardust. Who else? The only President McIntyre, the greatest president in U.S. and then soon world after the war history. There are all sorts of people born this year we don't even know about. Look at the bright side of life, you guys. Always look on the bright side of life. You might piss your bed. Yeah, maybe you were a bedwetter. Maybe you were. And maybe some of your favorite people died in some year. But some of your favorite people were born. And there were some days where you woke up and you're at your friend's house in a sleepover. And you're like, oh no. And you look down and you didn't wet your bed. And some days, you know, Mrs. Schneider was cooking breakfast. And you could walk down in your pajamas because you hadn't wet your bed. And you had a joy that no one else knew. They were all just like, oh, good, breakfast. But you're like, breakfast my pajamas. As a bedwetter, this is an amazing experience. You got to look in the bright side of things, you guys. Every once in a while, you got to look in the bright side of things. So let's go into 2017. Let's not worry about trash like Ronda Rousey. Let's worry about winners like Amanda Nunes. I love rooting against people's favorites, too. And let's just be positive. Let's be positive. It's too easy to say, right? But every once in a while, you just got to look on the bright side of life. So, ladies and gentlemen, the last podcast of 2016 and the first podcast of 2017. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 289. Tales of a Teenage Bedwetter with Mark Norman starts now. This is a long intro. All right, starts now. All right. By the way, I do whenever I do intros, I do like fucking seven takes. I start talking, I do 5, 6, 7 minutes of good content, and then I'm like, I have a minute of just like meh, and I'm like, all right, I'm starting over. Stop. Start again.
You do that a lot?
Not in a live podcast at all.
Oh.
I'm gonna drop that at the end as a tack on.
Terrified now of every fucking person putting something on YouTube and some guy putting a link that says misogyny.
Worried at all about that. All
right.
I only worry now at this point of like, if I talked about this thing too much.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bugs.
Okay, great.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Well, I don't worry at all about reaction.
And you know what? The less you worry about reaction, the less you'll get reaction negative bullshit. Yeah. Because it's kind of like, I feel like a lot of, now I'm doing it again, but I feel like a lot of ladies I know who have called, like, this guy's a creep and a sexual deviant, it's to some kind of weak guy. Uh-huh. If you did it to some guy who's like, fuck you, shut the fuck up, what are you, crazy? I didn't do that shit. They wouldn't do it.
Oh, right.
But they kind of prey on these, you know, guys who
take advantage.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe.
They're not going to fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's easier.
Yeah. And I'm not saying if some guy rapes you and he's, you know, scary, you won't call him out. But I'm saying if it's a false claim.
Yeah. Yeah, that you see that woman on the subway? She was like videotaping, I think, an Asian guy, like, jerking off.
No.
She's like, you stop doing that now. Motherfucker, you get off this train.
Oh, I did see that.
Get off this train right now. You don't do that shit.
Everybody's like, she's a hero.
Yeah, and he was like, all right. You could tell in his eyes, like, please stop, please stop. Okay, yeah. You got me, please stop. That guy was a weak guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to a 6'10" fucking athlete.
No.
I'd just be like, oh my God, that guy's massive. Yeah. I'd fucking walk away.
I couldn't even tell. I watched it. Could you tell he was jerking it?
Barely.
Yeah.
But I think she saw it, then got her camera out. I mean, barely. Did you see the jerker offer at the Charger Stadium?
No.
Oh, dude.
Was it a good game?
He was a security guy.
What?
It was a good game. So there's, okay, so you're the cheerleaders, right?
Oh, boy.
And he's security guard. So they're facing, stands are behind you.
Uh-huh.
The cheerleader stands are behind you. And then the field is that way. He's security guard, making sure nobody comes in. He's got his hands down his pants, going like this.
Whoa.
Yeah, and just kind of like being serious faced. And his other hand was like.
Damn, yeah.
And so he just kept going like that. And he kept, and his eye kept going like over to the cheerleader.
Uh-huh. Holy shit, how bad do you need to jerk it?
Some guys, man.
And where's your Wi-Fi? That is sad.
You gotta work for 3 hours. You can't get the chance.
I guess, but geez Louise, this guy really needs it.
How horny do you have to be to masturbate in a public, a subway, that? Like,
yeah, a stadium? What are you, insane?
Is it the thrill?
Oh, that could be it.
Could be it, right?
It's like public sex, but just jerking it.
In our heads, it's just like, just wait a minute, man.
I know. Go to the bathroom. I mean, I've jerked off on planes.
Yeah, like public sex, like you're saying. Some people, it's like, you would think maybe public sex, like, we can't wait till we get home. But other people are like, no, we're home. Let's go out.
So I wonder if they have that with jerking off.
Maybe.
Never thought about that.
The risk of getting caught.
Yeah.
Dude, I jerked off once at the North Hill Service Desk at University of Maryland. Not once, many times.
Yeah.
So my job was to hand out letters and keys if people lock themselves out, packages, you know. And if you get phone numbers of somebody, if you wanted to go, like, hey, I'm here to see so-and-so, I'd call them and say, come down. Yeah, but if you tuck yourself with the 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. shift, or the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I almost got caught once. I think I might have, by the people delivering newspapers. Like, I was, like, really going for it. Eyes closed, and then all of a sudden, he was halfway into the lobby.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but I don't think I got. I think that was just like, I don't want to wait.
Yeah, and you're alone.
I don't think it was like, let me do this right next to somebody.
See, I've burned myself because I can't jerk off without porn now.
Oh, I thought you said literally burned.
Oh, well, I've definitely chafed. But
you can't masturbate without porn.
No, I've tried.
You have burned yourself. You fucked yourself over.
I did.
What did you start with? Imagination?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the best.
But that was, 20 years ago.
You know Sean Rouse's joke about that?
No.
Because a lot of people like to masturbate to porn. I like to use my imagination because that way I control the action.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't. I got to see something now. I've burned out my sensors.
That sucks.
It's the end of an era.
Dude, if I watch too much porn, I have trouble getting a hard on with like a woman.
Yes. Yes. My therapist was like, you gotta cut back.
Really? Bobby Lee said that too. He had to quit porn for a while.
Oh, really?
And he got that super hot girlfriend.
Yeah, because I'm in a hotel room on the road. You're in a hotel for 8 hours a day. I'm just like, oh, I guess I'll watch porn again. Your hand just goes right to that computer.
And the other hand.
And the other hand goes right to my clit.
Dick.
Mm-hmm. So
It's so accessible.
I got to quit. You're right.
But you
from
fuck
now.
A lot, though.
I do. But the booze helps me with sex. Most guys get whiskey dick. Oh, my dick gets harder when I drink whiskey.
You do cocaine ever?
No, never.
Sam Tripoli said that's his superpower.
Oh, yeah?
So he has two superpowers. He said he can do well in a bar room and gets hard on coke.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare. Most people are...
Very rare. You too. It's
noodle.
Hard to drink and then... Especially whiskey. Is it whiskey or just booze?
And it's just booze. Whiskey dick sounds funny. Sounds funnier than tequila cock or whatever. But I think, for me, my anxiety goes way down when I drink. And when you can't get hard, that's all anxiety. So for me, it's all mental.
Oh, you just forget everything.
I forget about not getting hard. I forget about being bad in bed. I forget about having a small dong.
Yeah, sometimes I have trouble with a girl that I've led up to it too much.
Oh, I had that once.
Yeah.
I was hitting on a girl for years, and we both had a boyfriend-girlfriend at the time. So we're like, oh, we can't. One day when we're single, and we both broke up with our people of years, like 10 years each.
Oh.
And we both broke up. We're like, this is it. And I went back to her place and nothing.
Oh.
And she was hot too.
Fuck.
I see her all the time and I'm like, give me another shot. And she's like, hee hee hee. I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. But it was so built up.
So built up.
And I remember she was like really trying to. She was like slobbing on everything and showing me stuff. And
you're helping me through this. If I was going to be helped through it, you were doing it.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
I guess.
No, sometimes it's like, oh, I'm a little nervous, and then they just like you said, slobbering and go crazy, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm back again.
Yeah,
you've calmed me down.
That's true. It is possible. You almost have to get over the anxiety of it to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I was like, let's take a break for 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they go, let's take a break, and they're like, yeah, good idea. And then like a minute later, they like start up again. Like, no,
yes,
not that.
Let's
watch an episode or something.
Right, right. Literally 30 minutes.
Yeah, like let's take a while.
Yeah.
Let me calm down. Yeah, booze helps with that.
Oh, yeah.
Get a drink or two to take the edge off.
Right. But I've never had the, like, I drank too much, I can't get up. Never had that.
It's great.
Yeah. But I've had just the sober, like, ah, fuck.
What?
Like, I'm just sitting there with her. She's naked, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
I had a girlfriend once, this artist. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know? Because it feels so bad when it does happen.
Oh, it's the worst feeling. And you feel like less of a man. You feel bad for her. She feels bad. There's a lot of apologizing. A lot of, it's okay. It's brutal.
I've had almost a stereotype sometimes. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, like, I've had that.
Oh, you're not helping at all.
Yeah,
you're hurting
right.
me for the next two women.
Yes. What are you, gay? No, no.
No, what? No.
Ugh. I have a thing where I can't get it up if I like the girl a lot. If I don't like you and you're like a runaway in a truck stop, I'm rock hard.
I have trouble really choking a girl if I like her.
Yeah,
really, like,
yeah.
You know, pulling her hair and slapping her across the face. And
I think they go hand in hand a little bit. A
little bit.
Yeah.
I got to learn how to like, I can build up to it. Like if I already start choking and slapping you and then like, and then I start liking you, I can keep going.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, it's weird.
Isn't it weird?
Appalucci was like, you got to get over that. I mean, if you think it's not demeaning women, if it's just like a sexual thing, then
right.
who cares if you like them? You should do it anyway. I'm like, yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but do they like it?
Oh, the ones who like it love it.
They love it, yeah.
The ones who don't either will do it to please you or will say, please don't do that.
What do you think about choking like in the 50s? Was that around or was it just not talked about?
I don't think they knew a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so
I think,
crazy.
I'm thinking like the like outskirts people like did, you know, there's always fringes.
Mm-hmm.
The theater crowd was probably into it.
Ah, yes.
You know?
The more weirdo you get, the more
like,
kooky
this
shit.
This stuff existed, but like somebody told me that when we moved from communal housing as a society, I think it was the Industrial Revolution, to having your own place, it was the first time we had an expectation of privacy.
Uh-huh.
You just, you know, got this new place.
Right.
This is your place now.
Yes.
Especially in New York, which is a very industrial town.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to have your own place is really wonderful. To be like, oh, let me breathe.
Totally.
You are alone here.
Yeah.
You know, even though you can hear people outside sometimes, you're still like, this is my alone bubble.
Sanctuary, baby. Yeah.
So then people started having this expectation of privacy in certain places. And once they had that privacy, then they started having serial killers and serial rapists.
Oh,
and people getting into their crazy, like, the most, like, base desires because you just couldn't deal with it before.
That's
you
so true.
You didn't have enough alone time to fucking deal with the fact that, oh,
yes.
you're a sociopath in waiting.
Yeah, you have to just get through it and go on with your day.
Like those germaphobes, you know, who, like, I can't shake hands. I've never met one of those people. I've met, like, three or four of them. Never met one that wasn't a high-level actor. They didn't have the luxury of being able to be a germaphobe.
I would go as far as say vegan and all that shit, you know? You know, you're cooking meat, you're eating meat in the community.
Yeah, then we're all eating this.
Yeah.
Guess what? Then you'll starve.
That's so true, because you know when you ever lived alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you live alone now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I first lived alone the first time, you get a little weirder. You get a little crazier. You know, you start, I used to sleep till like 3 and then, you know, stay up till 5. And then
no one's going to look at you like, even with an air of like, what's wrong with you?
There's no judging.
None.
There's zero judging. So you can be as weird as you actually are. And you're in there doing weird shit in your room and you're naked and you smell weird. Oh, you're so right about this.
You don't shower for 2 straight days.
Yeah, because you're like, what's the point? Why?
Yeah, why?
Who's judging?
You get that fucking stuff in between your balls and your legs.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's great. It
smells weird.
It smells so weird, but you'll keep smelling it.
I can't stop smelling it. Yeah, yeah. It's fun to rub. It's like a weird
you'll
consistency.
Wait 10 minutes. Yeah, it rubs weird.
Yeah, it's almost like a lotion-y.
Yeah, but lotion that you rub in your tooth between your thumb and index finger over and over again until it like clumps up a little bit.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It catches the dirt on your finger and then like becomes a thing.
Oh, yeah. You could probably sell that at some place, I'm sure. But yeah, no, you get weirder. I had a point. You said something, community, and now I lost it.
Your
base desire. Oh, I got it. I can't believe I got it back. It's like your cell phone. Think about this.
Yeah.
Look how easy it is to get a key made. You go to a hardware store, you go, hey, I need a key made. 16 cents or whatever, they make you a new key. This is a key to a home. He doesn't know what home it is. No. I could be going to kill a woman. A guy stole her keys. I made a copy. How does he know?
He
they
know.
Never question. Uh-uh. Zero. But your passcode on your phone, you wouldn't You would never let anyone see that.
No.
Never give that out to one person. You never make a copy. You don't tell anybody because your phone is more private. You have more shit on your phone than in your home.
Yeah.
Because you have that privacy allows you to get weirder. You got pictures. You don't have a picture of your dick in your desk drawer.
Rarely do people come over to your apartment or house, definitely if you have one, but like rarely do people come over. They even borrow your phone for a second.
Exactly. Even if someone like swiping through your photos, you're like, stop there.
Yeah.
Stop there. But, you know, with your home, you're like, come on in.
My nephew had my phone, and I think he hadn't seen an iPhone or something like that. Maybe it was an iPod Touch.
Uh huh.
I was like, yeah. And then he opened up the photo. He's like, no. Do not.
Because
there's dirty shit on there.
Yeah.
You're fucking five and Orthodox.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Yeah, but like even if I'm like, hey, can I use a maps thing on your phone? I got to see how to get something. People are like, yeah, but they're not comfortable.
Totally. Or you're like, here, you talk to the guy and they hand you the phone. It's always weird. Like, oh, I'm on his phone now.
Yeah.
Then you're putting your face grease on their phone and their face grease is getting onto your face. Yeah. Very intimate.
Yeah.
The allowance of privacy lets you go way grosser.
Kind of fun though sometimes.
Oh, it's great. That's what the internet is. It's just let's get crazy. No one can see who I am.
Your search history.
Right. Oh
remember,
boy.
Remember before anybody knew about search histories and then people like jealous wives or husbands found out about search history?
Oh man.
And then
it was
on.
Oh man, it was over.
And then
over.
It became like you got to clear search history every single time.
Every time. Yeah, that's another thing. When someone uses my laptop, I'm like, shit. You know, when they start seeing the bar, the URL fill up.
Fill in.
Yeah, they start typing like white, and it's like, white guy fucks black chick on a rooftop in Manchester. Fuck.
Dude, I go home to my parents' house. Forget about jealous exes. It's like, I go to my parents' house. If they type anything, www.p, I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah. P is over.
Yeah, so every time you surf on their computer, you got to clear the history. It's just like, oh.
I know. I walked in. I'm not going to say who. Oh, have I told you my friend's story about him and his sister?
No.
Do you have a sister?
Yeah.
All right, two. So you can relate. Two.
Uh-huh.
Older, you're the oldest?
No, I'm sister, me, brother, sister.
Ooh, you're the middle guy. Yeah. Middle people are always the most interesting.
Really?
I think so, because you've seen it all. You got the upper and the lower. You got a perspective of both.
Yeah.
Also, you're neglected a little, I think.
You only got a couple years where you're like the king of the roost.
Yeah, you're not the oldest, then you're not the baby, so you're kind of fucked. You're nothing. You got to find your own way. But one time I was at a friend's house, my friend Phil, and we're all watching skateboarding tapes, and we were probably like 13, and he's like, I got to go take a shower, and we're like, all right, and he's like, yeah, just do whatever you want in my room. So I start looking through his VHS tapes, and one just says skate, and I'm like, oh, here's a new skate video. I pop it in. It's a video from a camcorder of his sister naked about to get in the shower, and she's like in front of the mirror like looking at herself and like being sexy, like,
what?
Ooh, how do you like this, putting her hair up, how do you like that, and like squeezing her tits, and we're all like, oh my god,
because
you're seeing a naked girl you know. Yeah, it was unbelievable. She's his older sister. She was probably like 17 or something.
What?
And she had like great body and everything.
Yeah.
We're like, oh my god, this is unreal, and we're just in shock, and he's in the shower. And so we're like, what the fuck is this? Is he fucking his sister? Does she know about this? Is he blackmailing? What the hell, you know? Whoa. So he eventually comes out of the shower. He's got that towel around his head. He's drying his ears. Like, hey, what's shaking, guys?
has no idea what's about to come.
No idea, yeah. And he's like, hey, what's going on? And he sees all of us, and he's like, what? And he looks at the TV, and he's like, ah! And he dives in front of the TV and pushes stop and, like, pulls the tape out. He's like, what the hell did you see? We're like, what did you do? And we're just going on and on. And who are you? What is your deal? And we have so many questions. And he's like, you don't understand. She owed me $100. I had to blackmail her. It's the only way. We're like, yeah, you've been watching this.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't understand. I had to blackmail her.
That's what he said. That was
his only way.
His only way to get his, like, I needed the money back. I'm like, but you just had this sitting around?
And it's like, did you get the money back?
Why did you
saw the tape?
No, because I saw the sister an hour later, and she wasn't like, I've been filmed naked. She didn't have a film naked vibe.
Yeah, but I mean, like, did the blackmail work?
I think it was a lie. I don't know. I think he was just curious. As a woman in my home, I'm curious about women.
His sister.
I think he just used this as like a way to learn about women. I don't know.
Weird.
Very weird.
Also, like, I could see like setting it up like, I'm going to see her taking a dump, and then like, oh, I got something else.
Oh, maybe that. Yeah. But I'm talking, you could see the side of the closet door and like a little loofah next to the camera, like where he hit it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. It was in the shot too. It was crazy. I'll never forget that. It was like burning my brain.
They had a story about a friend of ours who his ex was like bitching about him. And I don't I don't get involved in like relationship crazy stuff because I know people go nuts.
Yeah.
Break up or when they're, you know, anytime love's involved, it's like, ah, that's on you guys.
Sure.
But she did say like when she was shitting on him, you know how they reveal secrets?
Exes. Oh, yeah.
So he records people in the bathroom. So when his friends comes over, he records them in the bathroom.
We're like, oh, boy.
We're like, ah, I'm not getting involved. But then at the same time, it's like, well, I have been in his bathroom before. So next time I went to his bathroom, I just took his toothbrush and I stuck it up my ass.
Video or audio?
Video.
Oh, my God.
And then it's like, if you see it, call me on it.
Yes.
Then you're going to have to admit fucking videotaping me.
Good for you.
Thanks.
How was that? How those bristles feel in the anus?
Not great.
Yeah.
I didn't stick it in there. Uh-huh. I just kind of like brushed.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
So you got a clean asshole and he got some footage. Was it minty? I feel like that your asshole is so sensitive.
I mean, yeah, I didn't put more toothpaste on it.
I know, but still the residue.
Yeah, what's left over? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're chopping peppers and you go to the bathroom afterwards.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, you're like, wait, what's happening? No.
Yeah, you rub your eye.
Yeah, the non-sensitive places or the too sensitive places.
But I think the point to all this is that we're all sickos.
Yeah,
we like to pretend like some people are sickos and some aren't. We all are to some degree.
It's easy to write people off.
Yeah. And I think we like it. We like when Eddie Murphy picks up a tranny, you go, what a weirdo. And you're like, oh, thank God. I'm not the only one.
Taking the heat off me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the same with racists. You go, oh, that guy's such a racist. You go, it's not on me for a minute.
Yeah. Where it's like, I've got some stuff.
Yeah, we all got stuff. If somebody could get into my brain, I'd be locked up.
Yeah.
As with you, you've said some things earlier without the camera or the mics on.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And they were dead on.
Yeah. But, it's too easy, like, taking it out of context.
I know. Sound bites. It's like that Louis thing where he talked about how if we were less, like, pedophiles when they fuck a kid.
Yeah.
What was the whole bit?
Oh, if they kidnapped.
If they kidnap a kid.
And fuck it. You should say.
They have to kill it.
They have to kill it because if it's a witness, it's like.
Right.
They'll kill me.
So if we were less harsh on pedophilia, we'd get the kids back.
Yeah.
Right. Which everybody goes, oh, my God. It's like, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
Shit drives me crazy.
Yeah. What do you got? Acid reflux?
Hungover.
Oh. Till 4, huh?
Oh, we went at it, man.
Damn.
I'm not proud of it. I'm trying to do this thing where I don't drink till Friday.
All week?
All week.
And then go nuts Friday, Saturday?
Yeah. And
good for you. It's hard.
I'm trying, but it's hard.
Dude,
yeah.
This New York is, especially New York comedy. And I mean,
oh,
like,
boy, we go at it.
More specific is you, Hanley, Sam. It's a. Booze culture.
We drink, man. Yeah. I'm not proud of it.
I mean, I like it when you get a good crew. I love sitting there at one of those tables and then just like looking at Sam, looking at Morel, and just going like, you drinking? He goes, oh, we're drinking. Like, hell yeah. I'm
that's
me too.
The best.
You need someone else to drink with you.
Yeah, that's all you need. And Che's always drinking.
Che's always drinking.
Yeah. Everybody will put him back. Lisa's boozing.
Lisa, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's fun, but you got to be with other people. And then it's like you just keep going with each other.
I know. Because it's just a little... fucking
tiny
rocks glass of whiskey with a couple ice cubes.
Yeah,
just one
won't do anything.
Yeah, it's like 4 ounces or whatever.
Second
the hell
won't do anything. A third won't do anything. It's just each individual is just one.
I know.
You I get lit at that cellar.
I went out the other night and I had a bunch of those drinks, which three I'm fine, you know.
Yeah.
I'm feeling all right. And then I had a shot. Once I had that shot, I was like, I'm gonna be hungover.
Oh really?
Yeah, the shots what did it. And then the next
done
day
with shots. What are we in fucking college?
Somebody offered me a shot. I don't know. I hate shots.
I just tell them now. I make fun of them. There's a joke I can make out of it. Just came in naturally. It's like, we're not in fucking college anymore. Grow up.
Yeah.
Don't give me a drink. Give me a drink.
Right.
What am I trying to get drunk?
I know. It's and you feel so dumb throwing it back like that, and you're like, bah.
There's a time if like everybody's like, there's a time.
Yeah,
we're about to go on a trek, you know, for fucking a month.
Right.
Let's have a shot.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah,
you know,
communal.
Yeah, Rogan used to do that before we'd go on stage on a weekend, like before the first Friday show. Like, let's get a shot of tequila. But it wasn't like. Keep going or in the middle of a long drinking session. It's just like you guys are upping it the pace so much by adding a shot to whatever
it really
drinks.
Kicks it up a notch. Yeah, I don't know. I'm done with it. I'm done with the shots.
Yeah, how is it not going until Friday?
It's hard. I mean, it's always better though. Like every day, you know, you're sitting there on a Monday and somebody goes, you want to get a drink? And you go, nah. Then first you feel like a wuss.
Uh-huh.
Then you feel like a party pooper. Mm-hmm. And then you go, I do want a drink actually. And then you go, maybe my night would be better. And then you have to fight all that and then not have one. And then Tuesday you wake and go, I'm so glad I didn't have a drink.
Yeah. You're later come back and like feel good about it.
Yeah, totally.
You ever turn down sex, Mark Norman?
Oh man, it's the hardest thing in the world, but I've done it. I did it on Thursday or Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, you were hanging out.
I was hanging out with Sam. This girl was sending me this fucking shit. Holy hell. Sending me photos. Like, I'm at this hotel, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ah. And Sam's like, just hang out, hang out. You do this every night. I'm like, ah. It's like a fat guy with a cake. It's just right there.
Yeah.
And I pressed on. And then the next day I woke up and I'm like, great, I got 8 hours of sleep.
And
I feel
had a good hang.
I had a good hang, yeah.
Nick Youssef went celibate.
What?
Yeah, and he was kind of like you.
He was banging porn stars.
Yeah. He was dating one.
Oh, he dated her. Wow.
Yeah, but like, when he wasn't though, he would get laid constantly. Nick Youssef and D'Elia, it's like when they're single, they are taking it out on the L.A.
Really?
Community.
Was he even, well, it's like he's not famous.
No, not at all.
He's just
but
a handsome
D'Elia
guy.
But D'Elia was the same way before he was famous too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Didn't matter. They're just like, they're fuckers.
Yeah. I have that in me. It's evil.
Yeah, but he went celibate. He was like, I know how this is going to go. It's either... You know, you take her over, either it's going to lead to sex or not. It's going to be a bunch of talking. I'd rather wake up and go bike riding in the morning. If I'm in some town, I'd rather see the fucking museum or see... I'm going to wake up at 1 instead of fucking 10.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's his drinking. It's his vice.
Yeah,
and you wake up and they're there and they want to get brunch. It's a whole thing. God. It's pretty amazing, though, like...
I don't mind that sometimes, but sometimes you're like, that was just sex.
I know. But it's amazing how it... It's flipped. Like, could you think back to the 60s and how hard it was to get laid? Like, how much work and money it took right. And how much dedication?
It's crazy easy now, especially
so
in New York
easy.
City.
So easy.
City.
With the apps and everything and Uber's there. And oh, my God. It's pretty cool, and it also is scary how convenient we've made everything. Convenience has helped us and hurt us a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the times where you're like, I just ordered Seamless. But sometimes it's good to go out to the fucking store, chop up a vegetable, and put it in a pan.
Yeah.
But those things are good, but those days are kind of over.
Or at least go get a sandwich.
Go out.
Yeah.
You have that great quote, I use it all the time in my head, where you say, get 15 minutes of sunlight a day on the road. Get 15 minutes. That's all you need.
It's not very much.
It's not very much, but it's a good amount to start with.
Uh-huh. But I got it today. I've been like waking up at like... 2.
Yeah.
And in these New York winters, it's like it gets dark at 4:30.
I know.
Plus
it's
with
over.
The buildings.
I know.
You don't have much room to see sunlight anyway.
Right.
And so outside Grand Central today, I just saw like a good patch of sunlight, and they had those barriers so they don't want you to drive like trucks into Grand Central Station.
Uh-huh.
And so
you just stood in there?
I just sat in one of those and I was like, oh yeah.
Get that sunlight.
Yeah. I needed it.
I know. I'm a big winter fan. I love the winter. I love the darkness. I love a coat. I like a winter. I sweat during the summer. But I'm going down to New Orleans for Christmas, and I can't wait.
Because it's warm there.
It's warm, and there's going to be sunshine, and I'll be living it up.
Well, I'm going to use that as a segue to get into this topic.
Please.
How did your parents feel about your bedwetting?
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
How do they feel about it? I mean, they were ecstatic.
Like, were they like embarrassed? I mean, okay, I don't know. Where should we start with this? Because we were both bedwetters.
Yes.
At some point, everyone's a bedwetter.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Right? 6 months old, a year old,
right.
Everybody wets their bed.
Yeah.
When do people stop wetting? When do normal people stop wetting their beds?
I think like 4 or 5.
4 or 5.
I think pretty young because you go, all right, I don't want to wet myself. I'm cognizant of being covered in urine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cut that. But we just didn't have it. My doctor told me at the time, he's like, you sleep too deeply. You don't have that switch that lets you know, hey, you got to piss. I would just sleep through that switch.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said. And then other people say, well, it's mental, you know, it's psychological. You got molested, so you wet the bed. I'm like, well, how would my body know to go, hey, my dick got touched by my uncle, so you better start whizzing.
I heard some people say that if your father beat you specifically, then that's a bedwetting thing. If your father was abusive, that's a bedwetting situation. But my dad wasn't abusive at all.
No, mine either.
Yeah, so I think it might just lead to it, but it doesn't necessarily be the only cause.
But how would that, I mean, I guess the mind is a crazy thing, but how
the
would
mind
it,
is nuts.
How does one connect to the other? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know either. You ever see a dog piss on the ground? It's like sort of punishment to their owner.
Yeah.
Like they're pissed at like their owner's fucking paying attention to them, so they'll literally act up.
Yes, interesting.
Not literally, but like they'll act up in order to like, I don't know if it's punish them or to like get more attention, but like.
Maybe in a way your brain's going, you're getting beaten, at least do something to deserve it so you can piss the bed, you know?
Maybe, but that wasn't us.
No. I think I just wet the bed, and I tried everything. I tried pills. I tried the
what
whole
pills?
Thing.
What pills?
My doctor gave me some, like, dehydration pills or something.
So you'd have nothing to piss?
Yeah. Well, that didn't work.
That did not work?
No. I still wet the bed, and I was on the pills.
Did they do the thing where they you had no drinking after a certain point.
No
right?
drinking after I had seven.
I had dinner. It was a lot of water, and then that's it. It's
yeah.
done after that. So yeah. if I want to go to the tip till 10, it's like, listen, you're done with drinking at 7.
Yeah, which was tough, man. 10 o'clock rolls around, and you're like in the Mojave Desert. You know, you're like...
Yeah.
And my brother's sipping on a nice big Kool-Aid. I'm like, oh, you piece of shit.
That was hard.
Yeah, yeah. Bedwetting was... I think it's a character builder.
You think so?
No one talks about it. Because, yeah, you wake up, and you're like, I'm on my own here. I'm covered in urine, which is already humiliating.
Covered in urine.
Your mattress is ruined. You got to get up in the dark... Flip. It's like being in the military. You know, yeah. you got to flip that mattress. You got to pull those sheets
flip
off.
The mattress. When did you flip the mattress?
I always flipped it.
At your home?
Yeah, to go back to sleep because it was dry on the other side.
Oh, and piss stains on both sides.
Oh, it looked like a coffee filter. It was ruined. But yeah, you got to do it. I mean, and then I would sleep on the floor sometimes because the bed was too wet, or sleep on the couch.
Would you with the floor?
Yeah, fuck it. Get a sleeping bag out. But how about this?
Yeah.
You want to get into bedwetting? Sleepovers.
Sleepovers were the worst. Woo! Or going over to someone else's house to sleep.
Brutal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude, what?
You're on night watch all night. And your friend's like, you want me to take a... What are you doing up? You're like, I'm good. Go back to bed. I'm like reading a comic
obviously,
book.
Obviously, just explaining to people, none of your friends knew, right?
Oh, I had a rep.
As a bedwetter?
Oh, man. I got some horror stories. One time I woke up, my friend was British, or his mom was British. And I woke up. I had slept past everyone else. It was probably like 9 in the morning. They were all up. I opened my eyes. They're all standing above me in a circle staring down at me. And I look down. I've covered in piss. And my friend goes, ugh, why do you do this?
Oh.
And I remember being like 7 or 8, like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm a piece of shit. I'm human garbage. Oh. And the wife, the mom goes, get up. Get up. And she just like rips the sheets up. And she was so mad at me. Oh, man. It was
what?
Brutal.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just standing there humiliated.
How old were you?
I was probably like 8 or 9, 7. I don't know.
Get up. I could see it from her side of two. Where she's like, yeah. I'm not trying to scar this kid, but fuck. I don't want to fucking change piss.
Yeah, exactly. And like I looked down, the mattress is all ruined. It was like a cot she had. Oh, man, yeah. It was so bad.
That's what I mean by a vacuum, looking at things in a vacuum. Like if you just looked at this like mom shames young boy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, she's got a clean urine.
But she, yeah, exactly. That's part of it too.
Yeah.
You know?
So I wasn't mad at her. I was just embarrassed.
It's so embarrassing. I had to sleep over at my friend Avi Schneider's house, and it was like a few people were there.
Black kid?
No. I don't. You ever feel terrible that you're too gullible to get a joke?
Oh, dude, I feel that all the time.
No, what? Oh, of course you were joking.
I know. I feel horrible, and I want to apologize. I'm like, I'm a comic. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Comedian plus ridiculous should mean joke.
Well, I think comics get jokes less, ironically.
Maybe.
Because we think too literally. We're very literal people. Yeah. So when someone else makes a joke, you're like, oh, yeah, you do that too. But yeah, keep going.
So it's like probably 4 of us there. Avi had bunk beds. There's 2 people there. I had a mattress on the floor, and there's probably one other mattress on the floor, and I woke up at... Before everyone. Did you wet bed every night or just a lot of nights?
I was, 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I was probably like 5 out of 7.
Okay.
A little less, but still freaking. What the fuck was I doing and were you doing having sleepovers knowing that this was a possibility?
Well, we had to be social. They were our friends. You wanted to go. Sleepovers were amazing as a kid. You're like, I have to go to that.
We didn't know consequences back then.
Yeah.
We didn't realize like, oh, hey, if you don't want, like you were saying about drinking, like if I drew this, I'm going to wake up with 2.
Right.
Then we didn't. We're just like, I want this.
But an alcoholic still goes to the dinner party. He knows there's going to be booze everywhere. He still goes to the bar. You still got to go, even though you have a problem.
Yeah. So I woke up at like, let's say 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Eyes go up and like, fuck, it happened again.
Uh-huh.
And then like everyone else is asleep and you're like, oh, I'm going to get caught.
Yeah.
There's a cocoon. Of when you piss, a cocoon of warmth around you.
Oh, no doubt about it. It feels good for a split second.
I'm saying as long as you don't move, it's warm.
Right.
Once you move or if you get up to go to the bathroom,
you're ruined.
And come back, that's wet and cold.
Yeah.
But as long as you're there.
That's so true.
Right?
Yeah. It's a warm piss blanket.
It's a warm piss blanket. Yeah.
Great band.
So I was like, had that. And then it's like, do I stay here? You have to make that split-second decision and hope everybody gets up, goes about their day, and then I can get out of the bed so they don't see, or do I deal with it? So I was like, all right, I'm just going to deal with it.
Yeah.
So I took the sheets off the mattress, ran downstairs.
See, building character.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You're handling your own shit. You have a problem, it's your fault, and you're dealing with it.
Huh. Yeah, so I went downstairs, put all the laundry in the laundry and the washing machine, and then closed it. And then I was like, I don't know how to use a laundry machine.
Yes, but you had to use your wits. You see the buttons there? You go, all right, dry, spin, I don't know.
Yeah. No,
Did you do it?
No, I didn't.
Ah, fuck.
I had to figure it out, and I was like, this is too big machinery for me. Like, I might mess it up. So I had to, like, take those wet, dirty sheets, go back upstairs, put them back on the bed.
Yeah.
Get back into them, all cold now.
Ugh. Oh, man, that's bad. I got one.
And you know Ms. Schneider knew. You know Ms. Schneider
knew. Oh, of course, of course.
What do you got?
I got one. I don't mean to one-up you.
No, let's do it.
But
let's keep one-upping.
One time I slept at my friend's house, Jean. He was Belgian. And a lot of French people in New Orleans.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His parents were kind of boozy and scary. I feel like this is back when parents were, like, they're like, Dad's home, and you go hide. You remember those days?
He's going to be mad.
Yeah, yeah. Dad, like, he just didn't want to. He's like, he worked a full day. He's like, get out of my way.
He had to work all day for a family he didn't plan.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. He hates his wife, you know. Yeah. Hates his job, hates us. So,
I wanted to be an architect.
Yeah. So I'm already scared of the parents a little bit. So I sleep at this kid's house. I wake up covered in piss, whatever. Oh. I'm in a sleeping bag. It's my sleeping bag, which was a move I would do. Bring
nice.
My own.
Bring that home.
Yeah.
Wash it at home. Smart.
So I rolled that puppy up, and it was like 6:30. We were going to get up at 7, so I just made it. So I'm rolling the sleeping bag up. I'm covered, soaked in my just clothing. I just slept in my shorts and T-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm covered, and the mom wakes up eventually, and like I had to pretend to like get up with them, like, ugh. Ooh, beautiful morning. And the mom's like, all right, we're going to summer camp for 8:00 in the morning. So we just go to summer camp, and I'm soaked. And people are like trying to touch me and stuff. I'm like, ah, no, I'm good. And like brushing them off. I'm just soaked, and I'm soaked to like noon. And I went through the whole day, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm in the bathroom, like patting myself down with towels, hoping nobody notices, hoping nobody smells it. Nobody's like, why are you wet? You know, my shorts are wet, literally. And eventually, you know, we get picked up at 4 or whatever. My mom picks me up, and I'm like, oh, my God. Getting in that car was, like, the most relieving feeling ever. And I'm telling my mom everything. She's like, oh, my God. I went through the whole day. I got through it. Wow. I made it. But it was, like,
that's character.
Covered in whiz the whole day.
Also, for some reason, I couldn't think of the smell that other people must have smelled instantly.
Oh, that sour piss smell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just been sitting there. When you wake up, and it's already there.
Right.
But if you come into the room, you're like, oh, somebody pissed.
Totally. Right? Yeah. It's pungent.
Yeah, you must.
Yeah.
If I'm taking a dump, I don't notice the smell difference between before it comes out to after it comes out.
That's
you know
true,
I mean?
Yeah.
But if I leave and then go back in the bathroom, I'm like, oh, it smells like a dump.
Yeah, you really can't get immune to a smell.
I wonder if, like, if you and I are sitting in a bathroom and you take a dump while we're both in there, can I notice the new smell?
I bet you could.
Probably you could, because it's not yours. But you don't notice your own smell of dump, do you?
I do.
Right when it comes out?
Right when it comes out, and then I get used to it.
Right.
And then I can just stew in it for a while, and I don't even care.
Stew and dump.
Yeah. Oh, that was another time I had a Star Wars suitcase.
Yeah.
And one time I left it in my mom's trunk, because I was like, it's covered in piss, all the shit in there. And my friends found it, and they're like, oh, a Star Wars suitcase. And they opened it, and they all went, oh!
What the fuck is this?
So embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I wanted, you know, I got Big J that for his birthday.
What?
I took a dump on a sock.
Uh-huh.
I gave that to him.
In the sock?
No, come on. It's ridiculous. On it.
Uh-huh. Wait, what do you mean, on a sock?
I just put a sock in a box, and I took a dump on it.
Oh, all right.
And I closed the box, airtight case.
Yeah.
I said it was a new Avenged Sevenfold album, and and I gave it to him, which I still think it was, but...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
I mean, it is a shit in a box, but there's still a lot of thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And effort.
I had to go to Home Depot and get that box.
Oh, my God.
Box. Yeah.
Wow, you're a good friend.
Thanks.
In a weird way.
Yeah. But wait, what were we just talking about?
Pissing, smell, the suitcase.
Stew and dump. Suitcase. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you open it up, it's like...
Oh, it hits
smell
you.
Can, like, what the fuck? Yeah. If you open up that suitcase, it must be like, wait, what the fuck? Oh, no, here's what I was going to say. On the way to Big J's, to Legion of Skanks, to give it to him, my thought was like, oh, if I'm on a subway and somebody robbed me of this present, like somebody just took it and ran out the door.
Yeah.
At first, I'd be like, no, I didn't. But then my thought would be like, oh, you're going to get that home and open it. And you're going to see a fucking pile of shit.
That's true.
That would have been so nice. That I would never see the payoff of, but it would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see what I jacked off this motherfucker.
So what was his reaction?
Jay? Horror.
All right.
Bennington was there too, and Sal, and Dave.
I think you're stuck in the phallic phase. No, the anal phase.
I am?
I think so. If we're going with Freud's phases.
I don't know them.
There's anal, phallic, which is like your dick, and there's a couple others.
I mean, I take my dick out a lot, too.
Maybe you got all of them.
Oh, could you do both?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Maybe you are phallic. I don't know. I think you're more anal because you're always showing your asshole, you're on podcasts, showing your butt.
I show my dick and balls a lot, too.
Yeah. All right, well, maybe Freud's off.
My balls have been out at the Comedy Store. Just not dick, just balls out through my fly, like over 100 times.
Wow.
On stage.
Balls out is so funny.
Balls out is so they're so ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, balls to the wall is a military term.
Explain.
I don't know exactly the origin, but I know it's not about balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's about, like, artillery shells hitting the wall. I don't know.
We used to play 33 or Every Man for Himself basketball.
Uh-huh.
And whoever lost, whoever had the least amount of points when the winner won, it was a style of 33 where called hug the pole, and loser would have to hug the basketball pole, and winner got to take the basketball and just bean it at his ass, so crushing his dick into the pole.
Yeah, that's really the hard part. There's a dick crushing.
Yeah.
Damn, who came up with that shit?
I don't know, it was a thing at Slayer Creek basketball court.
Well, whoever came up with that is clearly gay now.
Also, didn't lose much.
Oh well, yeah.
No, you never wanted to see the dick. You just wanted to hurt the guy.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. Like, I'm going to crush your dick. It's a weird punishment.
Did you, the smell is a thing for sure.
Yeah.
Did you feel bad, or looking back, do you feel bad for your mom for having to constantly wash your sheets?
Yeah, she was so nice about it. She would wash the sheets and not make me feel bad. She could have been like, oh, you piece of shit, god damn it. But she was very nice. I guess she didn't want, she's like, this kid's already a wuss and fucked up. I can't scar him even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Just glad those days. I peed on a few one-night stands.
Really?
Yeah, you ever done that?
I peed on a girl before.
Yeah.
Twice.
Oh, wow.
Two times. Two different girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they cool?
One, this girl, Ashley, I told her, she was super cool. And she's the one who, I didn't get to this, but this artist, she was like, when I couldn't get a boner one time, she goes, it was the most understanding I've ever felt. It was like, she was like, yeah, I get it, man. Like, I don't have this thing on the outside of my body that just chooses to work or not.
Whoa, what a great gal.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, it's not up to me at all.
Yeah, and ironically, that's going to help you get hard, talking
sure.
like that.
Now I don't have to worry about the next time. It's like, no, you don't care.
Wow.
That was great. And it was so right. It's this thing on the outside of our bodies.
Yes.
Just on their own, say, I'm in or I'm out.
God, it's so, those VD ads on the subway. I'm like, what are you trying to do? Not give me a boner? Those VD ads are the worst because they're just making you think about it. ED.
Oh, erectile dysfunction.
ED, yeah.
Oh, ED you should be thinking about.
If you'd never heard about erectile dysfunction, you would never get it.
Yeah.
Unless you really had a problem, because it's all in your head.
It's a lot of it.
So these ads are killing me. I'm on the way to a date on the subway. I see an ED ad. I'm like, thanks, dick. Oh, God.
Yeah, so one time I peed on her in her bed, at least in her bed, and then she got up. She usually gets up before me, like almost every girlfriend. She was making breakfast or something. And I was like out there, and I was like, hey, I pissed your bed.
Wouldn't she know?
I think she just got up on her side and left. Like, it was already, when she woke up, the smell was in the air, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, handled it great. Didn't even. Okay, so then there's another time.
Oh boy.
Where another girl, and I don't know, I don't think I was drunk. But yeah, I pissed on her. Woke up though. But I was like on the bed and a little on her, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I had to take her I had to take her, went to her bathroom and got her towels. And you know how you do the soak up?
Yes.
So I did the soak up, put those down on the puddle, then laid on top of it, because you got to lay on top of it to really pull the water.
Oh, sure.
Into the,
get some weight on it.
That's hilarious. Do you think everybody goes through these same things and figures out the same techniques?
I think decent people do.
Yeah.
One time I pissed at a friend's house, and he let me sleep on like a side bed, and I took a bunch of talcum powder and just poured it all over the mattress, and it worked. It totally soaked it up.
Talcum powder.
Yeah, I just poured like a gallon on there.
Wow.
Yeah,
like sawdust in,
yes.
On barf.
Yeah, like salt on the snowy
right.
Sidewalk. I caked it on, and it was like gross and cakey and pasty, but it worked.
Oh. So anyway, that's great. So I put that down, laid on top of it for like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Towel a little bit on her, And then when it was soaked up enough, like she wasn't up yet, I got back up, hide the towels. Or no, you know what? I might have laid on until she got up. That's what it is. And she went to the bathroom, and I took the towels and I hid them in the pantry.
Yes.
Where her pots and pans were.
Oh.
And then she came out and she goes, "Where are my towels?" And I was like, "I don't know." And she goes, "I mean, they were here." I'm like, "I don't know where your fucking towels are."
Right.
It's not my, I don't fucking charge you your towels. She goes, "I don't feel like they were here. They're all gone." I'm like, "Look, I don't know. I don't know, Natasha. I don't know where your fucking towels are."
Right.
Keep track of your own house.
Yeah.
She found them fucking 2.5 years later.
No way.
Something like that.
She never cooks.
Never cooks.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Lucky you.
Yeah.
And did you come clean? 2.5 years isn't enough buffer.
No, I never came clean.
What? Yeah. Well, this is it, folks. You got the exclusive right here.
I only say that because I'm with you and you're so open. You're probably the only more open guy than me in comedy.
What?
I think so.
Wow. Hey, I'll take it.
You don't think so?
I don't even think, I just think of myself as just saying what happened. I don't think of it as open.
That's open.
Okay. All right.
It's the opposite of closed.
I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Yeah.
Wow, Natasha, that's so funny. 2.5 years later.
Something like that.
I would have been worried all day, like, here we go. I'm going to get that phone call.
Oh, I was worried for sure for a while.
Here's the towel call. But look at you. Sometimes, see, people always like, you got to come clean. You can't deny it. The truth always works. Fuck that.
Correct.
You beat the system.
Thank you.
Yeah, good for you.
When people said they couldn't kill them, they couldn't kill somebody because they couldn't live with themselves.
Yeah.
They knew they killed somebody or raped somebody. It's like, how do those people do it?
Yeah. Exactly.
How does everyone else do it and live with themselves?
Great point. You would make it work.
You'd make it work. You compartmentalize. You'd stop thinking about it.
But I mean, I know guys who are like, I cheated on a girl. I had to tell her. I'm like, you told her?
You told her.
You could have gotten away. She would have never known. They're like, I had to tell her. I'm like, wow, all right.
You didn't.
You did not.
You didn't have to tell her.
You did not have to tell
her. You can just not do it anymore.
And she probably was more hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like she would have never known.
It's almost like you want to share the pain.
Ah, that's
what
it
is. Too much guilt. Here, you have some of it.
That's a little selfish.
It's a little selfish.
There you go.
You did it. You were an asshole. You fucked up.
Yeah.
You did something wrong to somebody based on the rules you agreed on.
This is like... It's like bedwetting. Yeah, you have a problem, you deal with it.
Yeah.
I think this makes you a better person, this bedwetting.
I mean, if adversity makes you a better person,
yes.
This is adversity.
And you're like, you realize life isn't perfect. You know, it's happening to you and not them, so things aren't fair. Yeah. I think it's a good lesson.
Yeah.
I hope my kid's a bedwetter. Not on my bed, but yeah.
You can't seek out adversity.
No.
It's just got to happen to you.
It's got to happen to you, right.
It's like bits, and they say like, "Oh, you got to go to bad situations to get bits." Like, no,
I hate when people say that.
No, yeah, you avoid bad situations.
Right.
If you get caught in one anyway,
yes,
then you write a bit about it.
Right. Yeah, these people are like, I took this job at the mill so I get some material. I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you're a moron.
Yeah,
to transfer to the mill and then realize, oh fuck, I'm at a fucking mill.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, did you have the crinkly mattress, the crinkly sheets?
All right, let's talk about that. But first, wait.
Oh.
Get the crinkly sheets. Did you ever piss on one night stand?
Oh, I pissed on a girlfriend I dated for years. I pissed on her probably 20 times.
What is she? 20 times? Well, same girl?
We dated for years. And I would drink a lot.
So you was it booze related?
Yeah, when I black out or anything like that, I always wet the bed. I don't anymore, but I did until I was probably like 25.
Wow.
Yeah, only blackout.
Do you black out?
Not really anymore, but I used to black out once a week.
Can you, okay, if you're a blackout, then I just want to make sure I got this right because people are understanding. There's a new blog in the Facebook world about some woman who was blacked out and got taken advantage.
Oh, I heard about that. I read that.
When you black out, that is not you passing out, right?
No, it's your brain, your memory shuts off and you just go into crazy town.
But you're still living your life normal.
Totally.
Doing tons of stuff, having conversations, meeting people, driving home maybe.
Yeah, totally.
Well.
Yeah. Anytime you wake up and you go, how'd I get home? That's a blackout.
Yeah. When you have like no memory of it.
No memory. Zero. I could have done anything. I have bruises. I have cuts.
Right.
Like, I'm missing my wallet. Yeah.
You got a wristband.
Yes.
Like, where did this come from?
Totally.
And not even like hazy, but like nothing.
Nothing.
That's blacking out.
That's blacking out.
Blacking out is not passing out.
No. Totally different.
Yeah.
I wish I passed out because then I wouldn't do all this crazy shit.
Right.
It's like a Jekyll and Hyde.
I think that's what happens, either or.
Yeah, right.
Either your body's like, we're shutting down, or your brain is like, hey, let's shut off the record button.
Yeah.
Let's put all efforts into play.
Record button. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to see it on people, too, blacking out.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people like Eddie Bravo, this guy I know, like, he blacked out so much that eventually, after seeing it and hearing about it the next day, like, yeah, I was blacked out last night. Yeah, I was blacked out last night.
Right.
Eventually, I was like, remember what he looked like last night? And then I was like, I think you're blackout now.
Yeah.
Like, eventually. I think it's hard to tell. They're completely normal.
Well, when you see like a kind of reserved guy, not that I'm a reserved guy, but any guy who's like kind of normal, low key, and they have no inhibitions, like they're grabbing women's tits and they're singing out loud, you're like, oh, he's in a blackout.
Wow.
Anytime when there's no filter, that's usually a blackout.
Right. Wow.
There's some guy standing on a table at a bar doing that shit, that's a blackout.
Wow.
Or a fight, you know? So yeah, that's when you know. But oh man, I used to black out too much, and I pissed all over this girl a bunch of times.
What'd she say?
She would be furious, but got to be like normal. It got to be rote. Like, all right, get up, here we go. You know,
she got used to getting pissed on.
Yeah, and it's the worst thing because all you want to do is just lay there and you're hungover and you're like, I'll deal with it in a couple hours, you know. But she's like, get up.
She's like, we're not dealing with this in a couple hours, you fucking animal.
Yeah.
You have piss all over you and me. Get up now.
Totally. I think in a weird way, it made us closer. You know, it's kind of like when your baby spits up on you. You're like, well, it's my baby. I get it. But it was like that.
Right. It's your own thing.
Yeah, but one night stabbed and chewed out. One time I blamed it on the girl.
You pissed.
Yeah. What'd you do? But yeah, it's just the most humiliating thing. Ugh. So glad it's over. I still wake up in the morning and kind of go, all right, we made it.
Do you ever get a... Oh, let's talk about crinkly sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, I'm going to keep forgetting stuff. Do you ever wake up now? You don't bed wet anymore, right?
No.
You wake up now, you ever do that thing where, I don't know what makes it happen, temperature or maybe a slight fever or something, where you're just soaked with sweat head to toe?
I have had that.
Is that because like your head is cold but your body's warm or something?
Could be a nightmare.
Okay. But it's happened before where you're just like soaking.
Soaking.
Do you ever wake up like that and go, oh, fuck, it happened again?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because you have that. You know it so well. You have that built in. Yeah.
Dude, I get that all the time. And then you're like, oh, no. And then you have to feel your shoulder. If your shoulder's wet, you're like, oh, I'm okay.
Right.
This isn't piss. This is just sweat.
Totally. I have had that. But yeah, the crinkly sheets, that was just my mom like, I'm sick of washing everything. Your mattresses are ruined. Let's try these plastic sheets, which was fine. But every time your friend sits on your bed, he goes, what the hell is this? A bag of potato chips?
Grandmother live here?
Yeah, right.
Wait, was it a mattress cover or was it actually sheets?
Oh, mattress cover.
Like the thing that stops bed bugs on your mattress now.
Yeah, but like it was like a shower curtain.
Right, straight up
plastic.
Yeah. It was like, she's like, your mattress smells.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
I was dating a girl in high school and I had her on one of those and she was like, it takes the sexy out of it, you know? Crinkle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. God damn. Being an adult is so much better.
Did you? For sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're fucking, we're taking drugs, we're drinking, we're doing we're making money. Having money is great.
Having money that you made is awesome.
Oh, dude. Like, nothing better than you do a bunch of spots, you just got that walking around money. You're like, I don't even know what it is. Could be 300, could be 200, but it's just 20s. And
cash in your pocket.
Just going to get a sandwich. You don't even think about the cash. Dude, oh, the best.
I was walking home from... Must have been a weekend. It was probably this past Saturday. From the stand, stopped by a bodega, and went to get baby wipes. It was out of baby wipes, so they're gonna get some. You know,
all right,
ass wipes.
Yeah. And, again, anal stage. Want to keep that ass clean?
I guess so.
We gotta Google those anal stages, phallic stages, because there's a couple other ones.
Yeah. What else is there?
It's all very primal.
Anyway, pulled my money out of my wallet to pay for it, and, you know, $220,
$225.
Yeah. The cop was there. He just looked at it and looked at me, and I was like, he's just like, hey, watch it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then, like, I was like, hey, this neighborhood's not as bad as it used to be, huh? It's gotten way better. And he was just like, and then I just, like, left.
Oh, nice.
But I'm like, no danger.
Yeah.
Not in the East Village.
Oh, I thought he was like, what are you, a drug dealer or
something? Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Like half be careful and half like, why do you have so much cash?
Right. Interesting.
But then I was walking, I was like, it's not that much.
Yeah.
$200.
Right. Also, who gives a fuck? Can I have cash? Maybe I hate credit.
Yeah, I just didn't put in my wallet.
God, I hate cops.
But me too. They just make you feel insecure at all times.
Totally. And they're always, you never see a nice cop.
Wrong. Right, exactly.
There's never a guy twirling a baton going, howdy, sir.
Yeah.
What happened to that guy? I'm scared to go up to a cop and go, which way's 3rd Street? I'm scared he's going to be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. when they pull up next to you on the street, look straight forward. What have I done wrong? You're like, I haven't done anything wrong. Still.
Yeah, right. It's like that Chris Rock joke. It's like, you stole this car. Maybe I did.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
I know. I hate them.
But it is nice when you come home and you're like, I have money. You're like, I'm going to stop and get a drink or something. And you're like, here you go. It's $20. Let's get whatever. I'm going to get a sandwich.
Yeah, totally.
Sunny or whatever.
Nothing cooler when you're on a date and the bill's like $65 and you pay the whole thing in cash. You know?
Like, oh, my.
Yeah, they're like, who is this guy? Because no one has cash besides comics.
We have plenty.
Tons of cash. That drawer right there is full of cash.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Deposit once in a while.
Yes, I should start doing that.
I was like, I got to get rid of this cash.
I know, but nice having cash. I hate swiping that fucking chip now. The chip's brutal. I got to put it in the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hate the chip. Yeah, cash is good. Credit, I don't use credit. I hate credit.
Really?
I don't like credit. I don't trust it. I'm like, I don't want to have to think about this later. I'll just pay debit. You know, because you got to pay off the credit card.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I never do it. All these guys are like, I went to Europe on my credit card. I'm like, I could never do that.
I would only use my credit card in place of cash.
Yes.
I would never, like, I don't have the money. I'll put it on my credit card. I'm like, no, that means you don't have the money.
Exactly. Well, I don't get that.
That means you shouldn't be doing this.
No,
but I can take a vacation this way, and I can pay it back little by little. No.
You're not going to do it.
You can't take a vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You're a piece of shit. Yeah. You're irresponsible. This is why you have no money in the first place.
And your $3,000 vacation with interest on a credit card is going to cost you $4,200.
Exactly.
Just don't. You haven't earned it.
Right. Yeah, earn it.
Earn it and then do it.
Yeah, and it'll feel better when you earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I know. But the crinkly sheets were tough. Did you ever have the alarm sheets that woke you up as soon as it sensed any liquid?
I think I didn't have these sheets. I had the alarm buzzer on my waistband.
On your waistband?
Oh, no, you'd clip it on right by your like the dick hole flap.
Uh-huh.
Like the flap there, because right when it felt moisture, it would beep, and it had a wire all the way
what
up
was
to
the
your.
Beep like?
It was like beep 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 beep. It was little.
A wire what towards your ear?
Yeah, it went all the way up to your what do you call
lapel?
That? Neck.
Uh huh.
The V neck. And, yeah, so you'd piss, but I told you I shorted it out because I pissed on it, which seems insane, but it's like...
Why? Who designed that?
I know.
Like, you can't get it wet, like, but inventor, sir, I don't want to stop you, but, you know, it's going to get wet.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It was very primitive, too. Like, the doctor's like, try this, and it would, like, you could tell other kids had tried it, and it was from, like, the 60s or something, and it was bad. That didn't work at all.
Yeah, I had the sheets that had the same thing on them, and then it would make an alarm.
Wow.
As soon as it felt any sort of liquid.
Yeah.
So I guess it would train you because you've already pissed a little bit.
Right.
So then you have to have another 2 seconds of like waking up and then holding it in, stopping.
Yeah.
You know?
But didn't you have the thing where you wake up when you're pissing and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to keep going.
I have had that.
I never pinch it.
That's crazy. You wake up, you piss a little, and you're like, fuck. And then you're just like,
here it
let
goes.
It go.
Let it go, baby. I'm
it's
owning
like
this.
Signs.
Yeah,
let it go.
Right,
bet.
Right, but it's like your moment's like, all right, now I'm in control, because that's all pissing in the bed is zero control.
My friend Rachel says she's a girls' leadership thing, and she said she has a kid now, but she said, oh no, it was Rogan actually said his daughter doesn't want to pee ever, and she's like, you could tell she wants to pee, but she's like shaking back and forth and holding her like midsection, crossing her legs.
Yeah,
and he's like, just go to the bathroom. She goes, no, because. He says that, and whatever psychology is, it's like pissing, going to the bathroom, that's something they're in control of. And they have control of nothing else in their lives. She's like five or seven or something. But like, so now she can control it. And it's like, you do have to pee.
Yeah, it's got to come out.
But like, they like the idea of finally controlling something in their own lives.
She's going to have an eating disorder.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I dated a girl, she would eat 5 almonds for breakfast, every day 5. And I was like, why 5? I would just be, you know, handful, popping one in.
Yeah.
And she's like, 5. And she's like, this is the only thing I'm in control of. I was like, whoa, you're fucked. And she was hot.
Yeah, the sheets were terrible. But wait, yeah, just pissing away, just going, fuck it.
I know.
Did your dad ever, did your dad live at home?
Yeah.
Did he ever like...
Scary dad. He was like dad's home kind of guy.
Yeah.
Scary. He's on antidepressants now, and he's like a different guy.
Yeah.
So he's always like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I flinch because he was that guy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's weird seeing my dad. Like, he's like mowing the lawn like, howdy, son. Hey, he's waving at me. And back in the day, he was like mowing the lawn with like a fucking puss on, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. My dad was pissed.
People say that depression, anxiety, that's all like a new thing. But I think it was existing in the 1800s.
Of course.
People just didn't treat it.
We just dealt with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a bad day or whatever.
People are like, but back in those days, you just handled it. I was like, there was suicide in those days.
A lot of suicide.
Yeah, it's not They didn't just handle it.
Also interesting, white people, highest suicide.
Highest suicide rate?
Yeah.
Because they're so guilty about white guilt.
They're guilty, and I think privilege leads to sadness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we talked about that earlier, I think. Yeah. We said something.
Yeah.
What did we say? Shit, it was a good point you had.
What was it?
It was like, you got to earn it. You got to earn, if you earn something, it means more, I guess. Oh, it's a luxury. Things are a luxury. You said something was a luxury. Shit, what was that?
It was a luxury. Having a germophobia.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all luxury. And I think with luxury, with white privilege and all that luxury comes more shit.
Yeah, you add sadness.
You add sadness.
Joy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, do you ever think, like, this life, I mean, nothing wrong with Schumer, but, like, moving into bigger and bigger houses and, like...
When's it end?
Yeah, like... What are you in a place right now feeling like this is bad where I'm living? It's not good enough. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you had two kids and you were living here, it'd be too small for you, and you'd have a desire to, like, I want more.
Yes.
But if you didn't have two kids, like, at what point does this become like, I'm so excited about this new place, to wish I had a bigger place?
Oh man,
you know what I
know.
I mean?
I know.
Like there's something in people that makes them not, I guess, be content.
Yes.
With what they have.
Yeah, that's so true, and not everyone has it. I think it's an insecurity thing. I'm not saying Schumer, but I know some celebs.
It could be that. No, right, not everybody. It's but like.
Yeah, but I know some celebs who are like, I've seen them, like someone will be like, their agent's like, you're going to make $10 million. They're like, $10 million? Are you kidding me? I need 20. And it's like, how do you have that? If somebody goes $10 million for anything, I'm like, done.
Wow.
I don't have that in me at all, but there's this like feeling in them like, you're trying to fuck me over, you're trying to, they got more than me, why don't I get it? There's
wow.
Like this,
and it's like, you're not even, that could be $10 to $20.
Yes.
$10 million to $20 million.
Exactly. But it's this feeling they have like, what do you, why not me, are you saying they're better than me? And they have that in them. I don't have that.
I heard Gary Shandling was always jealous of Seinfeld. That he was mad that he wasn't Seinfeld, and it's like, dude, but you're Gary Shandling.
Yeah,
you've done great stuff. You have two amazing sitcoms. Pretty decent comic from what I remember.
Good comic, yeah.
And it's like...
Dated Sharon Stone.
You're respected. Dated Sharon Stone. It's like, what? And you're busy being jealous?
I know, but it's also a dry... Like, look at Dave Attell. Everybody's like, you gotta relax. He's so funny. You gotta own it. Like, my therapist is always like, you're a funny guy. Stop worrying about being funny. I'm like, I think me worrying about being funny is making me
funnier. Yeah, there is that.
It's a drive.
There is that.
It pushes you. Well, Michael Jordan.
Time, yeah, at the same time, worrying about getting richer housing and stuff makes you get richer housing.
Completely.
But my thing is it even necessary? Does your lifestyle go up? Does your happiness go up?
Right.
In the interim, in the middle, like, it's a nice new place. You're happy for a week or two.
Yeah.
And then you're like, it's my place. I don't even think about it.
Totally. I remember when me, Nate Bargatze, and Joe List were in a car driving to Philly. Nate was the headliner. Joe was the feature. I was the host. And Nate's going... He just did a half-hour special. He just did this and that. And he goes, I can't get on Letterman, man. I can't get on Letterman.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there like, dude, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
I have zero. Joe's got, I don't know, Alive at Gotham. And you've got a half hour. And he's like, I can't get on Letterman. It's all over. It's all fucked. And it just showed you, like, to him, he can't get on Letterman. I can't get on fucking the news. And I'm not bitching. But you just want the next thing. It's just how it works.
Yeah. You then want the next thing.
Him and Liz got into a fight. He's like, fuck you, bitch about your credits. I don't have those credits. And, you know.
It's weird people would bitch to people that are doing worse than them.
Yeah.
I had to catch myself so many times at the Comedy Store. Like, I can't get a spot. And or like, I'm only late night. And then you look over at a door guy who's not on at all. And you're like, wrong guy to complain to.
Totally. Totally. But.
And honestly, you shouldn't complain to the higher ups either. They don't want to hear it.
No.
Nobody wants to hear your complaints.
No, they don't want to hear it. Yeah.
They just want to hear how cool things are.
That's why people hang out with their group. You hang out with your class.
You're happy when one gets ahead.
Yeah. But like Schumer hangs out with Nick Kroll, who hangs out with Aziz, who hangs out with Mulaney, because celebrities want to be around celebrities because no one's asking them for a picture.
No,
they're
like
on the same level.
Looking at them weird.
Yes. No one's going. I mean, I get it now. I'm not doing. You know, I just did the hour special. I'm not killing it, really, but I get all these emails like, can we meet for coffee? Can I pick your brain? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I open for you? And it's all these can I?
Oh, yeah.
All these asking. Are you getting a lot of that? Do you get that shit?
Once in a while.
Emails all day long, like, asking me for shit. Can you do this? Can you do that?
I'll get like, hey, I did a set. I just started stand up. Can you look at it?
Can you look at it? I get that a lot.
Yeah, and it's like, you're beyond, if you're new, you're beyond the point where I could even give you advice.
Yeah, there's a guy who I'll tell you later, but he's always like, can you give me this email? Can you put in a word with this guy? Can you help me with this? And I'm like, you're not good.
Yeah.
Get good first, then I'll think about the word.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It should almost be like, of course you would do this for me. Like if you were coming to my place to meet me, you know, like, oh, hey, can you grab me some coffee on the way?
Yeah.
It's like, there'd be no question. You'd be like, yeah.
I wouldn't even think about it.
Or if you're like, oh, I'm coming right from I'm in a cab. I'm not going to be able to stop.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But like, you wouldn't think about it. You'd just be like, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
like, it wouldn't, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Wouldn't be putting you out at all.
It's right. Like, right.
Yeah. You're way in the range of being able to ask for that.
Yeah. But these guys who ask for shit who are bad, you're like, if you were good, I would do it for you in a second. But
and
you're
a
bad.
Asked me, I saw her at John Lovitz, and she goes, did you see my set? I might have seen her the day before. It doesn't matter, but like I had just seen her set. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, what'd you think? And I was like, she's an actress, whatever it was. But I was like, not well known, but like that's, you know, actresses now trying stand up.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
So that's an LA thing. But like, I was like, I'm like, all right, let me be compassionate here and give her the truth. Let me do a service that I would want done to myself.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, you seemed kind of green up there. Some of your punchlines that were like, it took too long to get to them. You had a decent joke, but like overall, it was just like, you definitely need to keep working at this if you want to get better. And then follows that up with, can you recommend me to this Echoplex? And I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
She goes, why not? And I was like, well, I mean, I just told you, you just asked me how it was. You didn't get the response you wanted. So you should never ask after that. But you asked anyway. And she goes, people didn't help you when you were starting? You didn't need help? I'm like, I didn't need help. One, I didn't get it. And two, when I did get it, it was beyond the point where they should have helped me.
And you earned it.
Yeah. Let me offer you.
I know. That's crazy. I think for a lot of people, asking for help is somehow, they think, oh, I'm being vulnerable, and this is showing I like you.
Right.
So we should be friends or something. I don't know. And look, I need a lot of help when I got started. I got help, but I never asked.
Get some help.
I never asked, though. I can't imagine asking for shit like that.
Me neither. All right. So did your dad get, was he pissed at you?
About the pissing?
Yeah.
No, he knew it wasn't my fault, but he was aggravated. Like, when I was really little, I would go in their bed when I wet the bed. You never did that? When I was like 4.
Oh, I might have. I don't remember it.
I'd climb into the parents' bedroom.
All pissied?
Yeah, because I had nowhere to go. You know, you have a twin bed, and that's it. Yeah, and my dad was always like, gah. So he would, like, turn away and, like, shuffle to the edge of the bed, you know?
You ever get to the point with a girl where you had sex, and sometimes you'll have sex again, but sometimes you're just tired and you just kind of want to go to sleep?
All the time.
And in some of those instances where you just want to go to sleep, they're not on the same page.
Oh, yeah.
And in like 30, 40 minutes, they start like touching your side.
Sure.
Like, but you almost have to be like, roll over.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I really have, like, you don't say it because it's too hurtful, but like, you just show like no.
Yeah.
Don't put anything back towards them without giving you vibes.
Totally.
Because you just want to go to sleep. I can see your dad doing that. Like,
that's what he did to me.
I know you're my son, but I just don't. No, I don't want to touch you.
Yeah, he's like, I got work in the morning. Get away from me. You're covered in piss. Come on, you're in my bed. I'm doing it. You're already in my bed. I'm doing enough.
Covered in piss.
Yeah,
you're like a homeless person.
I had a girl who I would date who just would not. She was like a young girl, and she would not stop. She just wanted to fuck the whole night. Like, I'm like, we have to get a few hours at least of sleep, but she just wanted to bang all night, all night, all night. And then she would do this thing where she'd go, I'm sorry I made you rape me. No, wait, no. She'd say, I'm sorry I raped you all night. And she would say that in the morning, I'm sorry I raped you all night. I'm trying to rape you. I'm like, shut up. I hate it when she said that. Yeah. So sorry. I couldn't stop raping you.
Like, please stop.
Yeah, and I'm also like, you can tell I wasn't that into it and you still want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, weird. Yes, that's what you did.
Yeah.
Did he ever have to like wake you up in the middle of the night?
We tried that, but I think he was like, fuck it. He tried it like twice, and he's like, I'm trying to sleep.
My
here.
Dad did for a while. Like 2 a.m., let's say, 3 a.m., he'd set his alarm, wake up.
Great dad.
Come like, great dad. Absolutely. Never was in fear of him like you were of yours.
But see, they say a comic, the archetype, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it's like, it's always a bad dad or a not loving dad and an over loving mom. They said that's always the template.
Interesting.
Would you? You don't think it was that for you?
No, my dad was a great dad.
Yeah,
my mom was loving, but she wasn't like doting.
She wasn't like super chewy, clingy.
No.
Okay.
My mom worked. I was a latchkey kid for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
So like, I don't see that as like a. I mean, she was still loving, but I don't think it was like a overly. At least what I'm picturing as an overly loving was like Jesus.
Right.
You know.
Interesting. Well,
but yeah, he would set his alarm for 2 a.m. Come wake me up. I'd go, come on, let's go piss, son. And then we'd go piss. Then I go back to sleep. Because, you know, build up your bladder.
Oh, yeah.
Empty that, go back to sleep. Maybe that would help train you to, like, not to wake up on your own.
Sure,
you gotta
sure.
pee. And I could just tell, like, it was like, looking back, it's like, you didn't want to do this.
No.
That's not what you wanted for your life.
No, he's a good dad.
You just set your fucking alarm. So you imagine a family and, like, raising kids. And, like,
I know.
He survived the Holocaust.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And it's like, I imagine him sometimes, like.
Wow.
Sometimes I really do imagine him, like, being in a camp, in a work camp, going like, if I survive this, I'm going to start a family. I'm going to have a life for myself.
Oh, yeah.
And in none of those daydreams.
The picture waking your ass up to pee.
Setting his alarm to wake up his fucking bedwetting child.
Hey, that's part of it. It's like the vacuum. We all think of a vacuum.
Yeah, yeah.
He's thinking about getting out of there and starting a family.
It's not all catch, man. It can't all be catch.
Can't all be catch. Did you ever think about that?
What?
I mean, it's a kind of a cliche thought, but like, I'm 33, but you know, 48.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By the time, you know, like, my dad was this age, he had a son already and a home.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so lazy, like, doing stuff for other people sometimes. I feel like I'm like, oh, I got to do this. Like, a girl will be like, can you help me with this? I'm like, I got to fucking help her. She's like, can you help me move this couch? I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm such a lazy piece of shit.
I just looked at as you said that, I was just thinking now, it's like, instead of going, oh, I'm behind schedule, which I always thought, I just now for the first time thought, oh, I'm just not on their schedule.
Not even on it.
I'm not going to be doing that.
No way.
Not like behind, just different path.
Ain't going to happen. Yeah.
I just looked at my own apartment. You've been in my apartment. And I was like, I see this girl. Sometimes I date this girl. And girls' places are just nicer than boys' places.
Sure.
You know, she lives in like Brooklyn Heights. So it's like she has a little more room. But I'm like, you know, there's tchotchkes and stuff and like set up, you know, bookshelves. And like, you know, she looks like a fucking human.
Yeah.
And I looked around my place recently and I was like, I don't have a table.
Yeah.
Leaning forward on a coffee table.
Yeah.
Putting a plate on my lap.
Right.
And that's how I eat all my meals at home. And I'm like, I gotta get a fucking table.
You gotta get
chairs.
A table. Do yourself a favor. I'm going all out with this. I'm gonna get a real couch, like a real desk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. But I'm gonna get one of those cool fridges that's like oval on top and it's always like red or dark.
You're gonna get
blue.
A new fridge?
I'm doing it, man. I'm going all out. I'm gonna sell that puppy.
That came with the place?
Yeah. That's a decent fridge.
It is a decent fridge.
Yeah.
Oval on top.
You know, it's like, it's rounded on top. It's old school. And it's got that cool metal handle. It's like, it clinks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
You see it like
my
an old
one of those,
mechanic shop or something. Yeah, yeah.
You got to like, it goes open and then.
Yes,
the thing open.
Yes, exactly. Because I don't put anything in there anyway. It'll just look cool.
Ketchup. Yeah. It would look cool.
So I'm going to really do it up.
Yeah. So this bedwetting stuff. I'm trying to think what else there was. We got to the crinkle sheets.
Yeah.
So now you're going 8, 9, 10. You know this is a problem. You feel like an asshole, right?
Mm-hmm. But as I get older, it's dwindling. Like it was 5 out of 5. Then it'd be, you know, 13 years old, it was 3 out of 5. Then 15, it was, you know, 2 out of 5. So it was going away slowly, but then the blackouts brought it back.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think 1 out of 8 boys wet the bed.
1 out of 8 boys?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Is that a lot?
That's a sizable amount of people.
Okay, because girls are way less.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Girls are like 1 out of 20.
Female privilege.
There you go.
Never talked about.
Good point. And they live longer.
There's a lot of female privilege I never talk about.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, there's the easy stuff, like the free meals and the opening the doors, but then there's all kinds of shit. They can hit men.
Yeah.
You ever step on a girl's foot and she's like, hey, just fucking hits the shit out of you? You're like, jeez, you just got to take it.
Yeah, but that hit doesn't do any real damage.
I know, but it's weird that that's where their brain goes.
Yeah, just like ours goes to that. But we have more power.
So we hang back.
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, you can't be trusted because you have too much power. They can be trusted.
Uh-huh.
It's like, your shit's weak. You can't do anything. What else was there? Oh, well, stand-up, obviously. It's way easier to be a girl in stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Financially, career-wise.
Right, right. They're dying for women. Please, we need a funny woman. I book shows and people are like, my booker's always like, we need a woman. I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, she's not good. She's not good. And he's like, we need somebody. And I'm like, all right, put her on.
Like, you're going to get somebody you know is worse than me because of my dick? Because of
it.
What I have between my legs?
Which I don't get how women can argue that. You know, like they're like, yeah, no, we have it hard. I'm like, I'm telling you, we book less good women, lower talent level, because they're a woman. That's it.
Yeah. It's easier in sports because you look at statistics. like batting average is down. So you can be like, sure, let's hire a woman to be our first baseman, but it's like she's hitting 0-22. So
right.
So like, well, I can point to that and say that's not quality.
Right.
But standing and be like, no, she's just as good as you are. And it's like, every comic would disagree, but sure, if I'm sitting at home thinking about that, okay.
Well, that's another thing. Like, if you think she's just as good as him, you need to check some shit out.
Dude, they had this blog on about my move on.
Okay. Well, Luis Gomez, we were talking last night, and he's Puerto Rican, and he's like, I would never do one of those diversity things. I would never do the fact if somebody books me because I'm Puerto Rican, I would be furious.
Yeah.
I'm like, good. It's condescending. It's cunty. Because if you're saying I'm being mistreated and treated differently, then don't accept it when it's for the good.
Yeah.
Because it's still treated differently.
And then it becomes like, well, we want to accept it once in a while to make up for it. It's like, it's all or nothing.
All or nothing.
It's this is wrong behavior, or this is wrong, but that's also wrong, and two wrongs don't make a right. Right?
There you go. That is a saying.
So it dwindled away.
The Wiz.
Less and less and less.
Yeah.
Could you feel like, okay, this is starting to go, like this is getting better? Did you do anything to make it happen?
No. I mean, I guess I became a lighter sleeper. Now I sleep terribly. I don't sleep well at all. Really? So I can wake up at the pin drop now, but as a kid, I would sleep all night. So I think maybe just the sleeping got worse, so I could be aware of pissing.
What age, like, when did you stop? And I'm not going to count blackout drunk. That's a different kind of wedding to me.
I was probably 100% by 17, 18.
100% done.
Yeah, but like 13 and 14, it wasn't a worry, but it would still pop up.
Like once a month?
Yeah, maybe once, twice a month.
I was about 16 when I stopped.
Yeah.
Did you ever pray to God?
I pray to God all the time. Not sincerely, but I'm just like, oh, I got a thing on my dick. Come on, God, help me. I got to piss so bad, I can't even think straight.
Right now?
Can I bring the mic into the whizzer?
Sure, yeah.
This could be good audio.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
I'll just put the microphone down by the water of the toilet.
Hold it by your face. Use one hand. Oh, put it by the water so people can hear it.
Yeah, because this is a piss convo.
I mean, dude, I prayed to God. I was like, please, God, let me stop pissing.
Oh, yeah.
Let me. Oh, this is lovely.
I mean, that's how traumatizing it is.
Yeah.
I wonder if your son will. You don't think he'll have a son?
If there's any sort of like karma, I will.
That's hilarious. You look at a kid as karma.
Yeah.
Like, for all the bad shit you've done.
You're punished now.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, you got that Lagavulin 16.
Woo.
Favorite, man. No, that and Kolila.
Stole that from a private jet.
Really?
Yeah, it was just sitting there. I was like, fuck it, I'm taking it.
Oh, you should have.
Yeah.
Good move. That's a good scotch. Ale.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, man, that is a long one. You had to pee.
I was dying. We were talking about piss, too. It made it worse.
I like this part, the slow end.
Yeah. Woo! You guys ever play?
Not come yet.
You ever play Edward 40 Hands?
No, what is that?
Oh, my God. All right, let me zip up, and I'll tell you all about that game. This is great audio.
Yeah. What is Edward 40 Hands?
Edward 40 Hands, which I always won.
That's ridiculous. You wouldn't do this alone.
Oh, I got to get a towel in here.
Oh, yeah.
Edward 40 Hands is I had such a big bladder, so I would win. You duct tape 40s to both hands, and you just have to drink them, and you can't piss because you got duct tape bottles. You have to finish them before you're allowed to piss.
What?
Yeah.
Two 40s.
And you think, oh, I'll be fine, but halfway through the first 40, you're like, oh, I got to pee already. Then you get through one of them, you're like, I'm dying, and you have to drink the other one, and you have to chug it because you have to piss so bad you just want to rip them off.
So you got
to
just chug it.
You got to chug it. But I would always win. Like, a lot of guys are like, fuck it, I can't. They would rip it off and pee.
And then you lose.
And you lose, yeah.
Do you ever do the... forgot what I was going to say.
Edward 40 Hands game, some kind of booze game, pissing.
Oh, do you ever do the thing where you have to eat a piece of bread in a minute?
No.
It's like two pieces of white bread or like one piece of Texas toast of thick white bread.
No.
You have 60 seconds to eat it. No water.
Huh.
And everyone's like, of course I can eat that.
Yeah, that sounds easy.
Yeah. At 30 seconds in, you are 75% of the way through that bread.
Really?
Yeah. And then it just, your mouth is completely dried out and you have to just keep chewing and chewing and chewing.
Oh, wow.
You just can't like break it down.
Yeah.
Just to be able to swallow it.
I had no
idea. You have to really, the only way you can do it is to ball it up completely, take a bunch of bites, and just try to like swallow a whole giant piece where it hurts your throat.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think it might be two pieces of white bread.
Yeah, a minute seems nothing.
Plenty of time. Like, I could do this in 25 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're chugging along, and then suddenly, like, nope.
I'm going to try that tonight.
Yeah, let's try it.
All right.
I'm going to do it, like, at the cellar. Like, let's get a loaf of rye bread and see who can do it.
All right.
Yeah, not rye bread, white bread.
I knew about the thing where you try to take a cracker, and the first guy who can whistle wins.
Oh.
Because it dries you out. You're like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was, like, five writs in a certain amount of time.
Right, right. Boy, we had no... shit to do as a kid. This was entertainment as a child.
Pre-internet.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is good. It's good to like make your mind come up with this shit.
Mm-hmm. I think we're lacking right now with that.
Oh, my God, are we lacking? You can feel it. I mean, kids now, just straight to video games, straight to internet.
Also, I just saw this video on like how to get to the Hollywood sign. Mm-hmm. And these residents have like kind of closed down on their own streets. They just make their own signs, like no access to the Hollywood sign. And then just put that up, and just not an official road sign, but it looks like one, to stop people from going through their neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And so this video was like, here's how to find it. And it's like, that's nice, but now it's like everyone will go and find it, but which is annoying.
Yeah.
These secret spots, it's like, let them be secret.
I know.
But then the thing is, too, it's like, now you don't have to overcome and find the way to the Hollywood sign.
No overcoming.
You can just find the way that someone else went.
Right.
And when you go to some restaurant, when you're in visiting, you know, Atlanta, and you go to this restaurant, like, you got to get the burger there. It's great. You got to get the lamb stew. So everyone's like, how's the lamb stew? And you could tell the waitress, like, you know you can get the fucking lamb stew. Because everyone gets a fucking lamb stew. Because one guy on Yelp wrote about the
exactly.
lamb stew 4 years ago. Now everyone gets a lamb stew and says, oh, I had the lamb stew. It was great.
Yeah.
No one's discovering for themselves anything off a menu.
Nothing. Yeah. It's so true. And, you know, like, a friend of ours just went to China. You've been to China.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and he was right when I landed, my phone didn't work. I had to figure it out. I had to find a cab, and it's scary. And our immediate thing is, my phone, what do I do? And you start panicking. But he said his brain had to go into this new place of, like, figuring it out, dissecting what information you have and working it out, and then using your brain. Like, remember... I don't know if you remember this, but back when you'd have road gigs before Google Maps, you had a fucking map out. Or you'd call somebody, like, I don't know where to go. And they're like, turn right at the fucking lighthouse. And then
you better look at that lighthouse. And the whole time your word is like, did I miss the lighthouse?
Yes, yeah. But that's good for you. Your brain is using these different tools that you don't use anymore.
Like, 4 or 5 miles on the road, and then it's 3 or 7.
Yeah.
4 or 5 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about that far.
Right. That's all out. Like this new apartment. I just bought an apartment. My shower, I had to buy a shower curtain rod. These are all little things. You're like, I got to buy that. Oh, yeah. So you have to go look at all the rods. Do I want this rod? Do I want that rod? Mm-hmm. And I bought a rod. It didn't work. I had to go back and return the rod. I got a new rod.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole thing. And now the new rod I got doesn't fit all the way. So I had to buy these suction cup things at a hardware store and put those on. And it was a whole thing.
It's part of the internet, too, is like, I don't know how to do this. And you can look at a video and like, teach me how to do it.
That is
so
nice.
Now I have the information in my head how
That's
to do
good.
It.
That's good. Yeah. That's good that you can just like, I'm going to learn Spanish, and there's like a program on the internet to learn Spanish. So that's amazing.
Dude, I was in China. So you're going, huh?
I'm going in September.
Is Hong Kong on your gig?
I think it is.
Okay, because there's a guy right now at the cellar last night who runs a room in Hong Kong.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I told him, I was like, I want, with you in mind, I was like, I want you guys, all your fucking Asian like scenes to get together. So when people go, not all of them will go. Big J, if he goes, Metzger, he's like, a week.
Yeah.
That's it. But like a lot of us, like, oh, I'll go for 3 weeks.
Sure.
If you can let me go to Thailand, also Vietnam, is it getting Vietnam?
Yeah.
I'm gone 2 days.
Right.
You know, but we got to do that way ahead of time. So I was like, can you please, you know, all the guys, because you do that's your road gigs.
Right.
If you're in Hong Kong, your road gig is Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know? So like, get all the scenes together and let us get a fucking run.
I know, right? Get it together. These guys, they get their China thing worked out and they're done.
Yeah.
Go to the next level.
I went to
level.
Thailand. I did a gig in Bangkok. And then somebody, a week before I left, was like, you want to come to Laos and do a gig? I'm like, I have tickets already, man. I can't.
Yeah.
I would have loved to. That would have been amazing.
That's what's great about you. And I was thinking about this the other day. You're going to be, when you're like in 10 years, you're going to be so much smarter. Because you do a podcast about going out to eat. You do a podcast about bedwetting. You do a podcast about fucking girls. You do a podcast about buying a house. You're just absorbing knowledge from all these different people. You're getting all their knowledge. It's like a superpower.
Yeah.
You're like rogue.
That was a Heroes. It's one of the Heroes guys would take everyone else's superpower by touching them.
That's you. Yeah. But you're getting a little more knowledge than everyone else, you know? And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you're willing to like, a lot of people are like, Laos, that's going to be a pain in my ass. I got to find the flight. I got to get a cab. I got to get a rickshaw. I don't know where I'm staying. Got to find a flat. You're like, bring it on.
Yeah.
That's part of why I do like Edinburgh and stuff like that. Cause I'm like, I want to check it out. Let's live a little.
Sean Patton's also doing it.
We got a place together.
You do?
Yeah.
When did that happen today?
He hooked it up, and he's like, you want to be when the third roommate? He hit me last night.
Oh, I told him last night. I was like, Norman's going. I was almost going to suggest it, but I was like, nah.
You hooked it up.
So you guys got a place together.
Oh,
you
yeah.
find a place?
He found it. He did all the work.
Who's the third person you're living with?
Glenn Wool.
Oh, I love Glenn Wool.
Do you?
No, he's a cool guy.
I don't know him that well.
Cool guy.
All right, great.
Got a cool jacket with tassels on it.
Look. I saw that. That kind of threw me. I was like, I don't know about that.
He's like a cowboy, man.
All right, great.
He made the best. It was some Facebook argument about this woman was like, it was awful what happened. But she some show, some local in-town London show, they said like, sorry, we already have too many women. She's like, what do you mean? She's like, we already have too many women on the show. We can't have you. This is just like a live show. And she was like, well, I looked at the other women on the lineup. They're nothing like me. Mm-hmm. Their stand-up is nothing like me. Like, are we really saying no to people based on their fucking gender at this point?
Yeah.
And
that's hilarious.
Let's have no idea if she was good or bad. Because let's say the reason was the reason.
You're a woman.
And I was like, yeah. I chimed in. I was like, I know. It sucks. I've actually had to tell multiple men that they can't do my TV show because they're a man.
Yeah.
And it's awful. I'm like, if you lost your dick, I could book you.
Right.
And then somebody start bitching like, oh, boo-hoo, a fucking man didn't get booked. And
can't I want to
be like, oh, no, don't ever boo-hoo a performer who's got quality and fucking can't get booked. Don't ever go, oh, boo-fucking-hoo on that. That's
yeah.
a terrible injustice.
Yes.
For men or women.
Right.
And I was like, and some guy was like, oh, I'm sure if those are white guys, they'll be fine. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, they won't be fine, though. They're gonna like, some people are barely holding on to comedy.
Yeah.
And if they don't get a TV booking, like, they'll be out.
They're out.
And then the guy was like, I'm sure they'll be okay in the end. I'm like, wait, you mean in life? Because they're white? And
he's like, yeah.
And he goes, I'm like, all right, well, in that case, the first world white woman who didn't get booked on the show that the threat is about will also
She'll be fine. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, like, she's top 5 percentile as well.
This is you or Glenn Wool?
This is me. And then the guy went back and forth, and then Glenn Wool got involved, and he goes, he was like, let me ask you a question, man. Like, are you a comic? The guy's like, a little bit, not really, but I do it sometimes. He goes, all right, what do you do for a living? He goes, okay. He goes, well, let me just tell you this. I do this for a living, and I barely get by. And if I don't succeed at stand-up, if I fail out of stand-up, my life's not that great, dude. I don't want to drive a cab.
Yeah.
And that's my future, is driving a cab. So I get that you come from a fucking, you know, lifestyle where it's like everything's going to be all right for you, but it's not for me.
Right.
Forget about giving up your dream, you know, as a performer. That's awful to have to let that die.
Totally.
But on top of that, not every white man just gets to be CEO.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You know? It just doesn't work that way.
Some of us die of cancer. Some of us are short. Some are bald. It's, it still sucks.
Yeah, fuck. Hold on 1 second.
Who's that? The lady?
Yeah, it's the one from who has a nice place.
Oh, nice. Brooklyn Heights.
Jew. Never date Jews.
Love a Jew.
Fuck, I shouldn't have done that, because where were we?
Oh, yeah. What is this? Ornie Adams. Sorry.
No, don't look at Ornie Adams stuff. He's mad about a fucking receipt being too long. I know where it was. Oh, so Glenn Wool was like, dude, it's not going to be okay.
Yeah, I got to drive a cab. Pop.
Glenn Wool's a funny comic, too.
Okay, great.
That'll be a cool one to live with. Plus, he knows Edinburgh enough that he'll be like, hey, come with me to the show. Hey,
great.
Come with me to this bar. Dude, you're going to have a blast.
I can't wait. Yeah, Patton's a madman.
You
man.
And Sean. You guys are both boozers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 2 years in a row, I drank every night except one. And I mean drunk every night except one.
Wow.
No. This is the first year except one. The last year, I was like, at some point, I was like, I can't. I can't do it anymore. I can't. And I was like, I'm going home. I'm finishing my show. My show was at 11. I finished my show, and I'm going back to the flat, and I'm done. And I got back, and my friend Ahir, my roommate, is there with his mom and dad. And I walked to the door. I was like, oh, hey, what are you doing? They were in the kitchen. I was like, oh, I'm just coming home. I was like, come have some wine with me and my parents. And I was like, okay.
Uh-oh.
And we finished fucking 2 bottles of wine with his parents every single night. Dude, you're going to have a blast in Edinburgh.
But were you sleeping till 5? Like, how do you make
sleep
that work?
For sure.
Okay.
Or you just go to sleep at 3 and you wake up at 11.
I know, but my hangovers are so bad. I mean, Montreal, I'm there for 6-7 days, and on the third day, I'm like, I'm going to die if I keep this up. Because I'm scotch.
So Michelle and I were talking one day, like some days, and DeRosa too, some days you're like, whatever, and then some days you're like, oh, that was a problem. I feel terrible.
Yes, yes.
That was a real problem.
Totally, and you can't like, you're like, all right, it's 5 now, I have a show at 11, I don't know if I can do it. It's 6 hours away, and you're still freaking out.
They have this thing called Boreca, something like that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that
shit. Those little tablets.
Does that work?
C tablets. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I do the emergency and all that.
It's like emergency, but it's different.
All right.
The difference is all the difference. It gets you. I bought like six of those cans back with me because I'm like, these things are fucking tremendous.
Really?
Will not get sick.
What?
Yeah.
You drink it the night before or the night of, the morning?
The morning. You're like, oh, wow. Drink one of those on a tablet. But also, you start eating better when you're there because the food there is just like, our FDA is really bad.
Yeah.
So they don't allow shitty stuff to come into the regular, you know, unless you're eating McDonald's. But even the McDonald's has better food.
Wow.
Their FDA won't allow, you know, all those hormones. So like, whatever. But you can always just take a night off and not drink.
Sure.
People will be buying you drinks though. So
oh,
if
yeah?
you're not going to drink, you better have them make you a lime, you know, soda.
Oh,
so you
boy.
Can have it on you. So you can be like, you know, I'm fine.
Who's buying these drinks?
People.
Audience?
No, no. So the bars you hang out are comedian bars. They're just pop-up bars.
Okay.
So like one of the bars would be like where Noam lives. If the cellar was a venue, where Noam lives would be a bar.
Oh, okay.
Just upstairs that only you can go in with these passes.
Whoa.
And you'll get the pass. Everyone gets passes. Or it's like, oh, he's a comic. And then you'll meet them in the first week and then you'll always be allowed in there.
Oh, man, I'm getting pumped.
Dude, it's so much fun. And the stand-up is great. I'm so excited for you. I'm still 50-50 on whether I should go.
Come on. You got to go do a two-weeker.
You got to go a month.
Oh, okay. But you've already done it.
I know, but it's like...
I've been to Scotland before, and it was fucking beautiful.
Oh, it's great. I would take the one day off in the middle. It's like a dry day, so you can do a show that day. I would take it off so you can go to Glasgow or do something fun or go camping or just have a day off.
Yeah.
I didn't, and it was like... I should have.
Yeah.
But my plan was to, like, this whole year is, like, actually do some living in, like... at home and like being able to draw from like some at home things instead of doing all my fucking bits about travel.
Right.
And so I got to shoot my show in June and then I'm going to Europe for a week in July. And if I do that, that just means I'll stay.
Yeah.
And that means June, July, August, I'll be gone. And then another summer is gone. And it's like, I want to go camping with like soda and do fun shit.
Yeah. Well, you're an international man of mystery.
Fuck.
You live, baby.
No, but I love Edinburgh.
Yeah.
It's going to have a blast. Okay,
I can't
I'm excited
wait.
For you.
All right. I'm pumped.
If you need advice, let me know.
Sure. Well, what's the time difference? Is it like 12 hours like Australia?
Oh, no. It's 5.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, you can still like have meetings here on the phone if you need to.
Great.
But put all that away. Have it all taken care of.
Yeah.
And just like have fun there. Meet people. Go Ooh. See shows. Anyway, let's get
can't
back to
that. Can't wait.
God, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of something I just did.
Twice.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's great. I'm so glad people are doing it now.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little worried about reviews and how my stand-up will travel or translate, but...
Here's my first advice. Never read any of those reviews. I know it's hard.
What if they're good?
Don't read them either way, because good or bad should have no effect on what you're trying to do. It's just some guy.
Oh, okay.
You know how you're doing.
But other people read them. Then that's how they draw, right?
If there's a good one, your promoter will clip out the fucking... 4 stars from the Guardian and put it on your flyers.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it.
All right.
You know?
I'm going to be too curious.
If you have a bad one, no one will see it except your friends who might see it, but like no one will know about a bad one.
All right.
You know? It won't go on your thing because no one will cut it out and put it on your poster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got to get a good poster and you got to get a good title for your name, but generally it's like, you know, and then you also have to have Schumer tweet for you.
Ah, right.
That's not hard.
No.
That any big people that can tweet for you, that's how Michelle sold out day one. She sold out every show because Jimmy Carr tweeted for her.
Massive there. He's huge.
But like Schumer's pretty fucking big.
Even there, you think?
She's internationally massive.
That's true. We did do an international
depends what
tour.
Kind of crowd you want, but at least you'll get people going. Like, well, she said, or have her put a review. Have a couple people put reviews for your poster. That's what I did. They weren't prominent enough. I got Burr. I got Attell. I got Rogan.
Wow.
Yeah. To be like, this guy's great. One of my favorites. Just shit like that. We're like, oh, well, if this guy's not. So there's a bunch of people like, I want to see American style comedy.
Yeah.
I was in that wheelhouse. But man, you'll have no fans or like a couple. And it'll just be people that want to see comedy.
I love it.
Yeah.
And are they smarter over there or should I go more broad?
Do your thing.
Let them come to you.
All right. So. It started waning off.
The whiz.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about the apartment.
oh, well, I was going to get a tour, but we sort of did it. When I walked in, that guy was
here. The tour is pretty minimal.
Let's talk about the apartment for a second.
All right, well, I feel like we covered bedwetting. I'm trying to think what else is left.
So, no, I just want to say when it's done now. So, I remember me, like, slowly panicking. I was about 16. I told you when it stopped.
Yeah.
Here, there would pop up. Sleepaway camp was a fucking horror.
Ooh, you did that? Damn.
But sleepaway camp, so I wouldn't change my sheets. I would just go back and sleep. You ever sleep in a wet bed?
Yeah, I have. It's tough because it's always cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It hasn't dried off.
No. But you go to the edge of the bed, you go to the other edge.
Yeah, there's pockets where, like, now I'll sleep just barely on.
Yeah.
Get away from the puddle.
I've slept horizontally on the bottom of the bed.
Really?
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, like a dog?
Yeah, exactly.
Curled up.
Foot of the bed. I'll do it like a weird S shape, sleep like that. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were not fun days. What about those people who, like, piss on each other in sex?
Right.
I'm like, I would never, I'd live that.
I would not equate that to anything sexual.
Not at all.
Only embarrassment. Unless you want to be embarrassed during sex.
I guess, yeah. But you ever watch pissing videos? It's pretty rough. It's like some guy pissing on a girl's chest, and she opens her mouth, and he pisses in there. Oh, it's tough.
All over her face.
Oh, here's one for you. When I first moved into my house in Treme, which is a horrible neighborhood, my dad bought a mansion.
Took a show about that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a horrible neighborhood. I got robbed. We got robbed all the time. Eventually, two guys broke in and tied my parents up at gunpoint, so then we moved. But my parents are so liberal.
What?
Yeah. My parents are so liberal that, like, we were the only white people in town living in a mansion in a poor black neighborhood. And my bike would get stolen monthly.
That's what I always think about that Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yeah.
They have these extremely poor people living in poor neighborhoods. And we're like, oh, this, you have seven sons. It's terrible. And
right.
Your son has got severe, like, whatever problems, or you can't, like, grab classes or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to redo your house. You know, they do one guy's bed in a fucking race car. He's into race cars. Let's make it a race car room.
Right, right.
Everything else. You got a fucking backyard basketball court. And then everything's so nice. Like, move that bus. And they move. It's like, that's a beautiful house. And it's like, the last thing that you get is like, and we got you an alarm system. Because you are the target now in this
that's
neighborhood.
That's true, yeah. They can case your house by watching this episode. Yeah. Yeah.
I want that race car bed.
Yeah, right, right. I'm getting that basketball goal. Yeah, no, it's true. And we were sitting ducks, and I remember Christmas morning we were going outside to go to my grandparents' house, and a guy rode by on the bike I was supposed to get for Christmas, and he, like, smiled at us.
No.
And it was like, my dad was like, he, like, turned purple. He was so angry, and then just drove to my grandmother's in silence.
Wow.
It was pretty traumatizing. Like, it was a rough way to grow. I had a weird childhood. The place was such a fixer-upper that my dad ran out of money fixing it up, so he had to turn half into a bed and breakfast. So we're living in squalor with, like, pigeons flying around and termites and shit, and the back half is immaculate, and, like, musicians and Asian businessmen are staying there, and they would eat breakfast with us.
Wow.
It was wild, yeah. So I remember I'd have friends over, and I'm like, Mom, is anyone in Unit 5? She was like, Unit 5's free, so we'd go play in there because it was fucking carpeted.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a weird way to grow up. I mean, this kid Eddie, this fucking streetwise kid, he would be like, hey, you got the new Nintendo games? I was like, oh man, I got Contra, I got Excitebike. He's like, I'll trade you Paperboy and something else for yours. And I was like, well, I don't want to trade for you. He's like, well, trade for a week. Never saw him again. So he got the good games, you know? I mean, these kids were fucking vicious.
Wow.
It was rough. I remember one time these three kids were riding their bikes behind me, and they kept rubbing their tire on my back tire, like it's to fuck with me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, got it. And I was coming from summer camp, riding my bike home. And they were like, let me try your bike, player. Let me try your bike, you know? And I was like, nah, I'm good. I knew what they were doing. I was probably like 12. And I'm like, I'm good. And eventually they just wouldn't let up. They're like, pulled the bike in front of me and, like, skid it out, and I had to stop. And he's like, come on, man, let me try your bike. What are you doing? I was like, all right. So I got off the bike, and he got on. He went, check ya. And he rode away on my bike. And I remember being like, motherfucker, I was so mad. I walked home. Finally got home. I look in the mirror. I had my face painted with, like, rainbows. I was at summer camp. It was, like, face painting day.
Aww.
So not only was I fucking robbed, I was robbed while wearing face paint.
Aww.
Oh, so emasculating.
Check ya.
Check, yeah, I'll never forget it.
That's not even a second late. He didn't trick you. He just fucking, you're like, I know you're going to, oh, you did.
But here's the clinker.
Oh, you could talk about pissing on people. Yeah, go ahead.
We had a transgender nanny at the time. Or
very
like house,
forward thinking.
Housekeeper. Yeah, I'm telling you, my parents were progressive. This giant black dude with a wig and high heels would clean the house. It was hilarious. He was a burlesque dancer. But, you know, he was transgendered. We got it. And I got home, and he was like, what's going on? What do you look bummed out? I was like, oh, these kids stole my bike. And he's like, fuck that. Get in the van. We got in my dad's van. He's driving around the neighborhood. We found the kid who stole my bike, and he was, like, working on it on his stoop, like, undoing it so it wouldn't look like mine. And he's like, is that it? I'm like, that's my bike. And he got out, and I was too scared. I sat in the car, and he goes, that ain't your fucking bike. And he's like, look at this fag. And all they all jump around. Look at this faggot bitch. Oh, my God, faggot, faggot. And he just rips the bike out of the kid's hand. He goes, this isn't yours, you piece of shit, and threw it in the van, and we drove off.
Wow.
So I got the bike back from a tranny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I know. And it showed me, like, oh, these kids aren't invincible, you know? This transgender person in a wig just ripped the bike back from this kid.
So that's a fight for your bike when you just got it 35 minutes ago.
I know.
The guy's puzzled me like,
yeah. I forgot where I was going with this.
You were going to someone pissing on somebody sexually.
Was I?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Something about a bad neighborhood. Ah, shit.
It started with the bad neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. How did I get here? Boy, I really went on a tear there. Pissing sexually.
Norman does not smoke pot, by the way.
I have no idea. I'm hung up. I'm a little foggy, but I have no idea how I got to the bed and breakfast.
Treme.
Yeah, Treme was rough.
I don't know. All right, so you just got an apartment.
Just bought an apartment.
Bought an apartment, man. That's
homeowner.
So fucking adult.
I'm so nervous. It doesn't feel like home. It's all, as you can see, it's all boxes.
Yeah. You don't have a bed?
I don't have a bed yet or a couch.
Give me the tour.
Yeah, all right.
Let me see this thing.
So we're in the living
room.
That's
a TV right now?
That's a TV, yeah, but I don't have
cable. Oh, that was already there like
that? That was already there.
Oh, because they put it there.
Yeah.
And they could push it out, and then that's nice to be moved away like that.
Yeah, they were Indian, an Indian couple.
Oh, really?
So they were smart, yeah.
Did you come and look at this place while they were still living here?
No, they were already out. But, yeah, it's basically a one-bedroom, mirrored walls.
Interesting.
I don't like that.
You don't? You're going to fuck up against that wall, you know.
Oh, I'm doing
come
that
here,
tonight.
I mean, picture this.
Yeah.
The girl's here, her shirt's off. That's... Oh, see, you want to move that out of the way.
I'll get that out of the way.
Block you. So you're fucking from behind.
That's it.
Boobs flopping. So you get the back and the front view.
This girl loves mirrors. She's
really
obsessed with mirrors.
So she can look at herself and like, oh, I'm so hot.
Yes.
Ignore you back there.
Totally ignore me.
That's what I'd love.
I know. I don't want to be a part of it. You're fine. So, yeah, then there was a counter. There was another counter just like this right here, and I got rid of it. I was like, I want the space.
Really?
Yeah. That's why you can see all this shit back here. It was right here. Yeah. And this I'm going to bring out. This is horrible podcast. I'm just saying this
and
that.
Then this.
Yeah. But I'm going to throw a couch in here, get a big flat screen up here.
Couch what, from here to like there to the fridge?
I'm going to go all the way and then put like a little nightstand between the fridge and the couch.
Smart, separate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
You don't want to be right up against the cold fridge.
No.
And yeah.
Wow, and then get the TV there.
TV there, put like a nice credenza.
There if you need to.
Mm-hmm. I'll put a little, like a little cafe table here with two chairs, you know, just a little one. Like,
so you can like sit and eat like
sit
a normal
and eat.
Person?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. So it's like the small square and one is against the wall so you can maximum three seats.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah, almost get like a semicircle.
Yeah,
the flat
by the door
back.
Is where I want mine too.
There you go.
Semicircle. Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. Flat and then circle around.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be nice. What are you going to go to IKEA?
I don't know. I might go. There's a couple places online to look.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you call online? That? Apartmentdeco.com.
Really?
Yeah, App
Maybe
Deco.
I'll do that. Did you steal that from
what?
Stand Up Labs?
No, I bought that at a record shop.
Okay.
He's looking at a Steve Martin record, Comedy Isn't Pretty.
That they do have that on Stand Up Labs, though, right?
Oh, yeah, they got all of them over there.
Is Tuesdays a Story still at Stand Up Labs?
Oh, yeah. We're working on it. So, yeah, I got to throw a bed in here. I got no view. And this is my bedroom.
You do really have zero view.
Zero, right into wall.
What's that? What's through that door?
This is just, you know, garbage area.
Does anyone live in that building?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be weird.
I know, but
it looks
pretty
each
covered
place.
Up.
It does look covered up and like not lived in.
This is an award for winning the Great American Comedy Festival.
You won it?
Oh, yeah. It's a contest.
I was in one contest ever, and I got beaten by Sam Morril.
Oh, Laughing Skull.
Yeah.
You went pretty far, though.
I went pretty far. I dominated the first two rounds, and then I ran out of steam the third and didn't even place.
Because you're not allowed to do your same material.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. I also did a joke that it wasn't worked out yet, that shitting on Bobby Lee's car.
Yeah.
And turned out to be a closer of a special, but like,
oh wow.
At the time they were like, they just didn't vote for it. It didn't kill.
Yeah. Contests are fun, man. People shit on them, but I'm like, if you're winning, it's a great feeling.
I had this whole plan. Fuck, I had this whole plan to be like, they're like, are you one? Because also I was like past where I should have been to do that festival.
Uh-huh.
And then to be like, hey, listen, contests are stupid. It's ridiculous. Whatever that I got for the win, like $500, let's say. Like, everybody, go get drinks. $500.
Oh, that was your plan?
Yeah. And then I couldn't even fucking do it.
That's hilarious.
Not win.
Do you get second or third or anything?
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't even place.
Damn. Sorry.
I mean, I breezed through every other round. Yeah, Sam was smart. He was like, I'm going to save my best joke for the end.
Yeah, right. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
I did Boston Comedy Festival.
And that's a contest?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of contests.
I don't either, really. I've done. Once I won one, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I won Caroline's March Madness as well. But I did Boston.
Stuff up there?
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of good shelving. Yeah. That's weed, by the way. And that's Denver weed. I flew that back on the jet.
Honestly, I am so grew up in comedy around weed so much. That went into my head as weed and went out of my head without even thinking about it.
You knew that was weed.
I mean, without, but not even making a mental note of it. It was just like, yeah, weed, mirror, bath, like.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Wow, that's so funny.
Because it's in these clinical tubes, right?
Yeah, most people are like, I don't know, what is that weird tube?
Let's know what you got here.
Now I'm worried because I got to get that in a mason jar, right? I was probably losing some potency. Potency.
Oh, Native Roots, I've been there.
Yeah, they're good.
Sour Tsunami.
Yeah, like a nice indica.
Sativa hybrid indica. No, it's not an indica.
Shit. Sativa.
Sativa hybrid. CBD.
Oh, yeah. Indica is in the couch. That's how you remember it.
Not
it's
bad,
like
man.
A,
not
it's
bad.
Like a softer, mellow weed. Ari's reading the bottle.
For the record, I was lying about Native Roots. Because they get weird about people taking this shit out of the state.
Oh, right, right.
I'm going to smell this and see what you
smell
got.
Smell it. It might be bad now.
Oh, you bring back some fucking Denver weed.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than L.A. weed. Oh, hell yes.
Yeah. Ari approves.
Oh, you're going to impress a chick with this, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be the plan. Like, you're supposed to pot if you want. I have some.
I've literally put a one-hitter in there, and that's it.
In here?
I've had it for months.
Really?
Like, that's all I've smoked is most of a one-hitter.
Dude, I broke up with Natasha, and I was really upset over it. I was really hurt. And I asked my friend Rick Ingram to get me some weed. I'd smoked like 5-10 times.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know how to buy it. And he gave me a gram, which is like barely anything. Two of these little nugs. Anyway, two of these, maybe.
Yeah.
And then later, this was like maybe a year and a half later, we were almost to the La Jolla Comedy Store. They would send like three of us. It'd be like if there was a Comedy Cellar in Westchester.
Okay.
And they would only send Comedy Cellar comics there.
Uh-huh.
So if you're early, you have to go with some Schmendrick. But if you've been there for 2 years, you get to like choose like, you know, like, I want to go with that new guy. I want that to be my headliner.
Oh, nice.
I go with. You know,
yeah.
If you become a headliner, they can choose in other two guys. It was just a great fun.
Yeah.
And we had stayed in a condo where it was like a bedroom there, a bedroom with two beds there, and then a common room there. So everyone comes out in the morning. It's just the best.
I love that shit.
Oh, it's awesome. As long as you're going with people that you know.
Yeah.
And you like. But we were all going down together. And I was like, I'll bring weed. And I brought this bag of weed. And he was like, Is that the bag I sold you 2 years ago? I was like, yeah, I didn't go through it. He goes, that's crazy.
Yeah, how did you not go through it?
I wasn't a big weed head yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
What changed? Because I'm not good with weed either. I smoke it once a year. I'm a bad high. I get in my head.
Oh. Well, you got to find the right kind. Sativa,
okay.
Indica, or hybrid.
All right.
To me, they're all good, but you got to find the right for the right environment. If I want to watch Family Guy, it's Indica.
Okay.
You know, go to sleep, Indica. But like, if I'm out doing errands, Sativa's.
My paranoia is through the roof.
There's that. Louis Katz has a good joke. Like, hey, smoke some weed, no worries. And then it became all the worries.
Right, right, yeah.
You got to get used to it, I think, too.
If okay.
You're drunk, you're like, what the fuck?
And yeah, that's
like,
a good point.
I've got a buzz.
But the booze, it kills all the fear. This adds to the fear.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's just chill. Like, it just makes you laugh and giggle.
Yeah.
My friend grows some OG Kush that is just like, it's just giggle weed. It's just
yeah.
Like... I bring that specifically on road trips when like everyone's going to have a good time.
Mm.
It's hard if you're one-on-one with someone you're trying to impress when you're like,
oh,
I can't think
yeah.
clearly. But if you're with, let's say it was like you, me, Sam, List, and fucking Hanley, and we're
yeah.
all high, it's like perfect.
Right, right.
You know, nobody has to impress anybody. But What changed was I went to a dispensary with Rogan and Eddie Bravo, and this guy was taking classes from Eddie Bravo. He's a jiu-jitsu teacher, but he owned a dispensary.
Uh-huh.
And he was all excited Rogan was there because he's a celebrity, and he's like a pot celebrity.
Right.
And then, put this back. And then he told the guy who was working behind the counter, the bud tender, he was like, I'll make them, you know, gifts.
Yeah.
Make them gift bags for weed, you know, like a little thing. And then he was like, okay. And then he goes, what about the other guy? Should I make him one too? And he just kind of looked up and he goes, yeah. And so then he gave me like, I think 5 or 6 different grams of weed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe an eighth of something else. So I just was flush with it.
Wow.
So I was like, I don't have to make this last. I have so much that I'll just go through. I don't know if you do this with food, but like if I had a thing of like 8 frozen corn dogs, I'll go through the first 4 in a day and a half.
Same thing.
And I'm like, I only have 4 left.
Yeah.
It'll take me like a month to go through the next
2.
And then those last 2, I'll save for a year till they're bad because I'm like, I don't want to lose these last corn dogs.
The same way. That's why I don't buy food.
Right.
That's why I eat out because if I keep it in here, it'll be in here forever.
Yeah.
Or I'll eat it all in one day.
So once I had a lot of weed, then I started smoking pot.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. You don't want to run out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at any time in LA, I always had 3 or 4 different strains in my apartment.
Interesting. Wow. All right.
Yeah. That's how you become a weed head.
Yeah, you go. Because now that's all you smoke every day, right?
I slow down a lot.
Was it getting to you?
It's getting real, like, socially unpresent.
Oh, that's
bad. Even the next day when I wasn't high, it was just like my mind would wander too much. I wouldn't be, like, lost or excited by what people said. It would just be in my head.
Mm.
Not like my head, like, am I doing anything wrong, but just like.
Thinking on layers.
Yeah, like
of
you'd
thoughts.
Be saying layers, and I'd be like, "Oh, cake, different types of cake. You can put layers in a house, and you're just still talking away.
Yes.
My mind is just gone. Like, I got to deal with that.
Same way, but my mind goes, "What are you doing, you piece of shit? These people think you're boring. Get in there, jump in.
Yeah.
It's all social. It's all like you're not being good socially.
The cool thing is on weed, no one can tell. You have to remind yourself.
Is that right?
They cannot tell.
I don't know.
The only way they can tell is you say, "I'm so sorry, I'm high.
Yeah.
That's the only way they can tell.
But you know what's the best when you're high and you just slip into it and you forget you're high? Mm-hmm. You're just having so much fun. Oh, man. I get glimpses of that.
Some of it's overuse, too. Like, have a shot of tequila. Take the edge off. Versus have 7 shots of tequila.
Sure, of course.
You know what
course,
I mean?
Yeah.
Most people get, and I like to get obliterated high.
Yeah.
That's my normal now. But like,
right.
But, like, a good, like, hit and a half, just, like, feeling good, man. Let that last for an hour or two. Like,
yeah.
And when you just start smoking, that's golden.
Yeah, I guess so. But here's the thing, talking about homeowning. We got off on the weed which was ironic because we were talking about thinking too much, and then we did it.
We'll wrap up with this, yeah.
I feel like it's cool. It hasn't sunk in yet. This doesn't feel like my place.
Owner,
I'm a homeowner.
Man.
It hasn't sunk in, but...
You got equity.
I got equity in Manhattan, in the West Village, one of the best neighborhoods, but...
Even Trump.
I just... It's a big nut now. Now I'm more nervous than I was before. So this is going to push me. It's almost like having kids. We're like, now you got to bring it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get it, they'll take this away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't keep earning money.
And that's humiliating, and you're a failure then. And also, I like to just live off the land. Like, I'm a big, like, moocher guy. And I don't mean mooching. Like, I don't want to mooch off people. But I moved to my old place. It was all set up. My roommate had the Wi-Fi. I just give him money. He had all. But now you got to set everything up, starting with the shower curtain to the toilet paper roll to the fucking Wi-Fi.
So if you're a homeowner here and the toilet clogs up or breaks,
you get a super. But
you have a super.
You know, it might take them a week.
Okay, so but like in suburbs, if you get a house, there is no super.
There's
you're
no just, super.
You're just,
yeah.
Taking care of that yourself.
That's even more impressive.
I gotta find a plumber.
That goes back to that shit we were talking about like just finding your way around without the internet, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How do you
find a plumber? Does anybody know a plumber? My thing's over there. Do I call my friend? First I call one friend, then
yeah,
I call another.
Exactly.
Who knows a plumber?
All right, that's why word
yellow
of mouth.
Pages, I guess.
Word of, yeah. You can Google plumber.
No, I'm saying pre-internet.
Oh, pre-internet. Yeah, exactly. It was all word of mouth.
Right, this one's ad looks good.
Yeah, yellow pages. Yeah, that's true. But like you get a scratch in your floor, you got to go out and buy some scratch shit.
Wow.
Fix it. It's all on you now.
That is a responsibility that I do not want.
I'm a little nervous about that. That's the part that makes me like, you got to become a man and just handle your shit.
This is what I mean by nothing's all good or all bad.
Yes.
You know what I mean? With the political stuff. Where
right.
It's like, yeah, being a homeowner is great, but that's annoying.
That's annoying.
You
totally.
You can't not admit that that's an annoying part of it.
Completely. Yeah.
That's why I think people lose their arguments on childbearing too. Where they all say, it's amazing, every second's amazing. Like, okay, I know you're lying, so
yes.
Now I can't hear any of your message. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I hate when all that shit, like, for me, it's more obvious lies. Like when people are like, big is beautiful. I'm a big, beautiful person. You're like, but if you lost weight, we'd throw you a party. So which one is it? You know, that shit drives me crazy.
Gaining weight.
And then I want to just go, so you lying to me or are you just being nice? Like, are you actually that, you actually believe that or are you just faking it?
Right.
And I just want the truth.
Just the truth.
Give just me the tell truth. Me the truth.
It's great sometimes, but big is beautiful. It's really not. Not by any sort of standards.
No, and it's unhealthy.
And it's unhealthy. That's anytime the argument about fat shaming, you can rest easy on that. It's like, you will die sooner.
Yes.
So you can't really say it's better. Right. You will die sooner.
Right, right. And also, if it's so beautiful, you wouldn't have to keep telling us. We would just know, you know?
Megan Fox never says Megan Fox is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Beautiful, perfect bodies and all amazing tits are beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, Megan, we know. That's why you're a star.
You know, these celebrities go up like, I know I'm fat, but I'm beautiful and I love my body. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I will say, if you are already fat or chubby or whatever, being confident about it is sexier than being embarrassed about it.
Sure. I mean, but don't be delusional. Right. Don't be like, look how beautiful I am with my rolls of
shit. But if
shit.
We're going to fuck, don't be like, I'm a little.
No, no.
It's like, all right, we're here, though.
I agree.
Let's wait tomorrow. Today, right. Fucking, you're in where you're in.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
This is great. So you can get rid of that. This is great, man.
But see, that's another thing. Like that, those are screwed into the floor. So I got to get down on my knees with a goddamn screwdriver and rip
or
it out.
Or hire somebody. This is screwed in?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So then you got to order the couch, and you know, it's a lot. You got to move the couch in. But I'm bitching, but I have a home, yeah.
Two ceiling fans?
I love ceiling fans.
By that same company that everybody gets?
Yeah, what is that?
Hampton Bay?
Hampton Bay, baby.
I realize, when you ever see something like that and realize, oh, I've seen that 1,000 times.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Is that the only ceiling fan manufacturer?
It's kind of like the toilet American Standard.
Uh-huh.
It's just everywhere. Every toilet's American Standard.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
guy's killing it.
The guy who owns American Standard.
Isn't it funny when you meet I met a rich guy at a party once, and he was like a millionaire. I was like, what do you do? And you think he's going to say doctor or physicist or whatever. He invented the thing on the iPhone where you do this.
Oh, really?
You know, when you spread it out with your fingers and it gets bigger?
Yeah.
You maximize the photo? He invented that, and he's a bajillionaire.
Wow.
You never think about those guys.
What was that movie with Eddie Murphy where he went to live with somebody who was, like, super rich, and he kind of shucked things up in his house? I think it might have been the guy from Jaws. Who's the guy from Jaws?
And Roy Scheider?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Same guy.
Oh, maybe it's Roy Scheider then. I feel like it was somebody else.
I don't know this movie. You're not thinking of the Toy.
No, not the Toy.
Okay.
But the guy was fucking his own maid, and then Eddie Murphy came in, and also might not have been Eddie Murphy.
Nah.
So it all might be lost. He was like a millionaire. Not Brewster's Millions either.
Fucking his own maid. I don't know.
Is the main white guy was fucking his maid. She was like Latina, and she was fucking her. And then oh, the chick from Beaches. Who's that?
Bette Midler?
Bette Midler. She was the wife of the guy. And then whoever was staying with him, might have been Nick Nolte staying with him, might have been Eddie Murphy.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's vastly different.
48 but like, hours.
But like, so the house guest started fucking Bette Midler.
Oh. Probably wasn't Eddie Murphy.
Probably not. Oh, this, yeah. Interracial. That
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that we'd know. Remember that.
But I remember they were like, how'd you get your money? And he goes, you know those things on the end of shoelaces? The
plastic.
That's me.
Oh, that's funny.
It was either that or the covers on dry cleaning hangers.
Oh, yeah, the paper, yeah.
That's me. I love the idea of people getting rich off those things.
I love that. You can just kick back, go to Hawaii off that.
You could name a million jobs and that wouldn't come up.
Not once.
It's like, oh, that's how I made my money.
Right.
And yet still, somebody is.
Somebody invented a Post-it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard the guy who invented intermittent windshield wipers. Because my friend worked at the patent office. My friend Avi worked at the patent office.
Mm-hmm.
And before they just went on, you know, some guy had it where it stops.
Yeah.
Lets the rain accumulate a little bit, then goes on for light rain. And Mercedes just stole it.
Whoa. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're just going to do that.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then everyone just stole it.
You got to get a patent on that shit.
He did, and he sued, and that guy is a billionaire.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
None of those companies, except Pontiac, was like, they were like, oh, well, we're not paying him. So they just went back to non-intermittent windshield wipers for a while.
Uh-huh.
They're gone now, but like... Everyone else is like, we can't go back a step.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we got to pay you for your invention.
Hey, good for him. Yeah. Way to sue.
Yeah. Way to sue.
Damn. Hey,
congratulations, man. A fucking house.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll have people over. Like, you know, if you look at the seller lineup and you're like, ugh, and you want to hang here, just let me know.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna How be like long a walk is it to the seller?
10-minute walk, maybe That's less.
Great. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Right off the Christopher 1.
This would be a place where it's like, I know you're not a pothead, but this is a place where everybody should just come over and smoke pot.
You can do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
I will have a lot of ladies in here. That's my prediction.
Yeah, sit on couches, smoke pot, talk for a while.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's 12:30. Let's go over to the cellar or like whatever.
That's the plan.
Hell yeah, man. This is the first time you lived alone in a while, too, huh?
Yeah, it's been years. I know, I'm pumped. It hasn't sunk in, but it'll sunk in? No, I still feel like I'm in a room with just boxes in it.
Well, you have no bed.
I have no bed. I want to get a rug. I want to get some fucking...
A desk to put your computer.
Yes, I don't have Wi-Fi yet.
Clearly 7-year-old computer or more.
Yeah, that's an oldie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. My clothes are in the drawers on the floor, you know? Like, I gotta get some civilization in here.
Oh, yeah. I would do that early, too, or they'll just... For me, anyway, they would just stay in a box for a year and a half.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's the best that once you do get it set up and out of the way, and you're like, oh, now let it get dirty again.
Yeah. Once the bed comes in, I feel like things will start rolling.
So you're going to fucking hear tonight?
Yeah.
Before the bed comes in.
Standing at the mirror, I think.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Also probably sitting on this couch.
Probably the couch will get some wear and tear.
Yeah. Maybe sitting on the head and then leaning over towards the mirror so you can do both.
She loves that. Once she's in the view of the mirror, I'm out of the picture.
Really?
Yeah, she loves the mirror, this chick. She's super into it.
Isn't that crazy what some people are into?
I know.
That's not that crazy, but like that's what you got? You got that?
I would never have that desire. Like, well, I want to see myself and my hairy ass.
I remember I was married for a while, and I had a TV by the bed, so they could get a reflection off it, you know? And as I was fucking, I remember looking over the TV of us fucking. You know, not that we were on TV, but just the reflection,
yeah.
As if it was a mirror. And then I noticed, like, oh, you're looking at it, too. I was like, oh, hey, we're both just looking at that and not
fun.
Each other. Yeah.
Yeah. God, it's got to be so weird to be a woman, and you know, a woman, she wants to be fucked.
Yeah.
We want to fuck. They want to be
do
fucked.
The fucking, yeah.
That's so weird to me. Like, we're so different.
Yeah, got fucked.
Yeah.
That's a big feminist thing, too, where it's like it's someone's doing the penetration, someone's being penetrated. At its core, it's an unfeminist thing.
Yeah, but they love it.
Sex, yeah.
And I think I've noticed now more women want to be dominated, which I think is this whole like...
I think it's because they're doing better and being more independent, and so they're like, let me get that fucking shit on my chest thing.
Exactly.
Hitler liked to have his chest shit on.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he was super dominant in
his life.
Of
course. Yeah, because they want it back. I mean...
Yeah.
Some famous feminist said this, but it's a great line about how the worst thing that could ever happen to feminism is biology.
Why?
Because you're still wired a certain way as a woman. You know, women want all this equality. Yeah, they want all this equality, but then they're like, I like a man who's taller. I like a tall guy. I like a muscular guy. It's still in there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, as much you can fight it all day long, but it's still in there.
Yeah.
I like when the guy pays. I like when the guy's taller. I like when the guy protects me. I like a guy who can provide. I like a rich guy. It's all in there.
Yeah. Man, this girl, she's like got a real job, and it's like, when I pay, it's like, no, let me pay. What? And I'm like, I don't know. I just always sort of paid for girls.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's like, but what? And I realized looking back, it's like I always paid when I dated people that had less money than me.
Right.
And I always tell them, like, when you have money, you'll pay. But right now I do. But now I'm in the situation. I'm like, yeah, maybe you should pay every other time.
Maybe.
This isn't an equal thing.
Does that bother you?
What?
Her paying.
I think I just got to get over it, and then I'll be over it.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
I don't want to make it to a point where it's a fight. Like, you know, I paid the last 3 times. I don't want to make it to that level.
No,
like,
no, no, no.
Like, I don't mind paying, but yeah, if I really respect her, she should be paying every other time.
Yeah. Yeah, let her pay. Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's the tough thing about gals, though, and I know every woman's different. I got yelled at for this the other day.
Aziza.
Yeah, exactly. Every woman's different, but it's like, you know, women need to get their shit together and make one rule. Just make one rule, because it's like, don't call me sweetheart. Then I had a girl once like, men used to call women sweethearts. I like that. I'm like, well, which one is it?
Right. I know everyone's different, but then why do you say, why are there rules about how men should treat women?
Yes.
When it's like,
yes.
No, you're saying there are no rules.
Yeah.
About any man or any woman, everyone's different. So then don't tell us, don't do this or do this. When it's like, that's not across the board.
Right, right. You can't make a rule if it's all different.
There's too many outliers.
Yes.
If it's 1%, sure. But if it's 20% that are different, then...
But guys are good at handling that shit. Because if we have an outlier, we go, hey, pipe down, douche. You know, women just kind of go, oh, she can have her rights too.
Yeah. Hey, shut up, man.
Yeah, don't ruin this for the rest of us.
In my dorm, Dorchester Hall, the first day, they were like, so you guys, if separate floors for men and women, do you want to make the bathroom separate or do you want to make the bathrooms co-ed so people don't have to go to different floors just to pee and stuff once you're already on a floor? And we're all like, yeah, I mean, co-ed bathrooms for sure.
Yeah.
I was like, does anyone have a problem with that? And like one guy was like, yeah, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable. I'm like, you motherfucker.
What are you doing?
You motherfucker.
Grow up.
Kissing girls in robes, towels, a yes. towel thing strung just over the yes. boobs, you know, and barely covering. Could have seen that.
What a dweeb.
What a dweeb. What a fucking religious dweeb.
He's like, I can't shit around them. Ooh, I'll get over it.
Still mad about that. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
All right, Mark Norman. When's your special coming out?
April 10th.
April 10th.
Yeah, check it out. Been editing all week. It looks pretty good, and I hate everything I do.
Good job editing.
Thank you. Didn't miss a day.
Great.
When's your special out?
Springtime, I think.
Okay. Springtime for Hitler.
I'll have mine.
All right.
Come out near then. Got a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories with Joe List.
Yeah, check it out.
Could find you on Twitter at
Mark Norm.
MarkNorm.
Some douche at Mark Norman. They wouldn't let me have it.
You on Instagram?
At Mark Normand. One word.
Got that one.
And MarkNormanComedy.com for dates.
Somebody had MarkNorman.com?
Yeah, some realtor. And he said, oh, make me an offer. And I said, blow me.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you give him $100 for it now?
I'd give him $100, but I wouldn't. I feel bad going more because he's not doing anything with it.
Right.
It says page not found
or
whatever.
He just thinks like, oh, wait, that's what paid it for me.
Exactly.
You wouldn't pay him $100,000?
No.
There's somewhere in between where you would pay.
Yes. Somewhere between $1 and $100,000.
Yeah. $100 and $100,000.
Yeah.
I could see paying $300 to get that back.
Yeah.
And then you're already like, I don't want to have to pay that.
I know.
You're already in the phase of like, you got me.
Yeah, exactly.
But for $1,000, I'm like, no, I'm doing fine.
Right. I don't know. Well, I would like to have it, but what are you going to do? Yeah. So yeah, check it out. Check out the dates. Come see me live, all that shit.
Yeah. You got anywhere coming up? This might be out this week.
No, I'm going to be in New Orleans for Christmas and New Year's, and then I'm back on the road. I got to make a new hour.
Where are you back on the road?
I'm doing Magoobies in Baltimore. I'm doing Helium in Philly. I'm doing Side Splitters in Tampa. I'm doing the Hartford Funny Bone. So I'm booked every weekend to like
August. So you can build an hour by like pushing out as much as you can.
Yeah.
Filling in the hour with what you have and then filling in any new stuff, trying to like add more and more new stuff.
And then eventually flip-flop it to where the new stuff is more than the hour. Just keep pushing. Every joke I write, one joke goes out of the other hour.
Hopefully you'll have a new 45 at least by the time the special comes out.
Yeah.
So that way you can be like, okay, if you liked me from that, here's a new thing.
There you go. I can headline still.
What are you doing in town? Are you doing old stuff or new stuff?
New stuff. Every night, just working it out. Yeah. I wrote a joke yesterday, and I tried on stage, and it hit. So
to me, at this point,
one.
Once you record a special, we did our specials right near the same time.
Yeah,
right,
that was November 17th.
That was November 5th.
Hey.
Yeah. So like at that point, like I feel like anytime I do a joke from the special, and I haven't yet this time, I did the last special a couple times, is a failure.
Complete failure.
Like, I know it works. It's not being developed because I've already recorded it.
Yes.
So I can't go anywhere. If I do have a new tagline, it's worthless.
It's worthless.
So like, just don't do it.
I know, but you still need to do well. So it's this catch anal.
Well, like, right. I feel like if I'm showcasing for a new club a day after I tape, it's like, I'm not just going to be like, so let me think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
But like, if you're not.
Go nuts.
It's, like, it's only a failure to do the old stuff.
I completely agree.
More than a failure of bombing.
You ever heard that Colin Quinn thing where he says he has a goal every day and he's tried to get to 10 points? He's like, one point for doing a new tag, 2 points for doing a brand new bit and having it work, 1 point for doing a bit and not working, 1 point for a riff, and it's something like that, but it's like this tally thing. And if you get to 10, you did a good job.
In a day?
A week? On a set.
On one set.
I'm fucking up the numbers, but it's something like that.
I like to know those numbers.
I know. I'll ask him. But it's a pretty smart thing. Like 2 points for a new bit working. 1 point for a new bit, but didn't work.
And
a
then
riff.
You push yourself into like getting it done.
You would get so much more done.
You would get way more developed.
If you actually try that every night.
There's this comic, a well-respected comic, who goes on at the Comedy Store, who only follows like the easiest guys.
Uh-huh.
Goes on early in the shows only. And it's like... And I've seen him do that and request not to follow Sebastian, not to follow D'Elia, not to follow like tough, dirty comics.
Yeah.
And then after 5-6 years, I look at him like, oh, you're worse.
Yes.
The result is you're not as good as a comic as you would have been.
There you go.
It's like sad, but like
it is sad. You know,
put yourself in weird positions.
It's all that fucking what do you call it? Gratification, immediate gratification. Yeah. Like I know a couple guys.
Yeah, tonight it'll be better for you. You'll have a better set tonight.
But you got to work.
Yeah.
I know a couple guys. I'm not going to say any names, but we know them well.
Yeah.
And they will only work the cellar. And I just, I'm like, oh, I just got back in from Williamsburg. I did a spot in Park Slope. I was uptown. And they're like, what, really? And they just sit there and they do four sets of the cellar all night.
And the cellar's a kill factory.
It's a kill factory.
Really. It's rarely a test there.
Oh, my God. And they get the food there. You got drinks. They're waiting on you hand and foot. You got a nice, cushy booth. Like, no wonder you won't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's
you
like
know,
challenge yourself.
I'm up on my feet. I'm going to Brooklyn. I'm jumping in cabs.
Yeah, you
got to
go to Matches
trains.
And see what some fucking
yes,
like hip, like young kids think.
There you
and
go.
Then you get some fucking you know New Jersey people in the cellar.
Right,
you,
right.
Like, let me hear it all. Let me get all these audiences.
Totally, totally. You got to mix it up. Go to the stand. He won't even go to the stand. I'm like, what are you crazy?
Oh, I'm about to stop this. And you're about to tell me who it was.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
All right, Mark Norman.
All right.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
I hope that was decent. I hope there was
great.
Some nuggets in there.
That was
if
great.
You got to if you bed wet.
Yeah,
this,
you have
this
a message
is for you.
To the bedwetters?
Yeah, if you ever a bedwetter, this was your pod, baby, and stick with it. Hang in there and I don't know, piss on a lady and get some crinkly sheets.
I would love to hear actually if people want to tweet at us like stories of their bedwetters.
Please.
That'd be fun to see all these stories roll in of like, oh yeah, when I was this, oh yeah, this happened
yeah.
to me.
That'd be a great like confessional series, like uh-huh. bedwetting stories.
Yeah. Tales of a Teenage Bedwetter.
There you go. That thing what you said about the serial killers is so interesting to me. The
what?
Commune.
Oh, yeah.
Living with a community, better for you.
Yeah.
It's almost better to get
Anyone
away.
Anyone would opt out, though. Any of us would opt out if we had the chance.
Of course.
Like, yeah, I've got my own place, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm worried with this place. I got to make sure to get out, have people over, you know, get out the fucking house.
I was worried
house.
About you and Sean both going to Edinburgh. I was like, you got to live with somebody. Like, the people who didn't,
I thought
didn't
about
have
that
as good
too.
A time. So Glenwood will be really good for you, but at least you have yourselves, each other.
Right.
And meet people and like make friends.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was the best thing in the morning when it was like, I came downstairs, especially the first year, I came downstairs, I have three guys from London, not downstairs, into the kitchen. And that we're all just meet there. I'm like, what shows are we going to see? What's,
right.
What's oh, tonight's the what party? Oh, okay. I'll go to that. And it's just like, you just get out. And you're
yeah.
like, hey, what's UKIP? Everyone talks about UKIP. Is that a political party? And like, yeah, they're all racists. They're your Republicans.
Ah.
Oh, cool. Now I get those jokes. I don't know. It's just like, be social, but Kanane and Michelle, they just live by themselves. And it's
yeah.
like, they didn't have as good a time.
It's easier, but it's worse for you.
Yeah.
It's like going up early when not following anybody.
Yeah.
It's better for you to get out there and put yourself. I always say comfort is the enemy of adventure. Mm. You know, you got to get out there, be less comfortable, and you'll be happy later.
You will be happy later.
Yes.
In the beginning, I'm like, this feels weird. And then suddenly it's like, oh, wow.
That's why I respect you with that fucking piece of shit phone you got. Yeah, it's. It's easy to look at your iPhone. It's
yeah.
quick. This, oh, I got nothing to say. That was a dumb line. Oh, just look at my phone.
Yeah. Dude, that level of discomfort. Discomfort that you get where it's like, I'm in a room. I don't know anybody. Or I don't know anybody well enough to go over and talk to them. Oh, I'll disappear into this phone.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, let's say you left your phone at home.
Yeah.
Do what I do. But like, now you're like, oh, I'm still uncomfortable. I'm still uncomfortable. I still have this discomfort.
Yeah.
It's been 3 minutes. I don't want to feel this anymore.
Exactly.
Hey, my name's Ari.
There you go.
It's the only way out of it.
Only way out.
And then suddenly I got a new friend.
Yes.
Or I'm in a good conversation. And I don't have a friend or I'm in a bad one. And it was fun. Like, oh, that guy was an idiot.
Right.
Whatever. But like, it'll stop my discomfort that way. But you got to let yourself get over it.
Yes. Life is good when it's hard because then you get over it and it's better.
Yeah.
Things that are harder aren't always bad, but we run from them.
People stay in shitty relationships because it's easier than starting over.
Dude, I was in a 12-year relationship, and when I got out, I was terrified. You know, you lose your muscles of, like, talking to women and uh-huh. hitting on girls and all that game shit. And I remember just throwing myself back in and being terrified and failing a lot.
Yeah.
And then after like, a year, I was getting laid a ton because I learned that muscle again.
Muscle
you know,
again.
I got it back.
Yeah.
And it felt great.
My friend told me in college, I'm going to be late to this thing.
I got
to
go, too.
My friend told me, he's like a dance gay guy in my dorm. He was like, I don't know how to dance. He goes, oh, just go.
Yeah.
Just go dance. And within like a month, you'll be a good dancer.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't. And now it's been 20 plus years after that. And I'm still people like, let's go dance. I'm like, no, I don't dance.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And how's he?
He's probably dead of AIDS. But like, the point is, I could have been fine. I would have been like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not hurt and weird by it. It was a wedding. Everyone's dancing. I would have been like, I'll join in.
Yeah.
This will be fun. It's fun to dance.
Right.
I can't have that in my life because I wouldn't do the fucking month with everybody.
I know. And you're the guy who's got bad booze, but at least you're out there.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
I was 20. You know
right.
how far, whatever.
I know. Get out there, folks. That's all we're saying. Yeah. Do something that scares you.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
That's the episode, you guys. Thank you very much, Norman. I'm Mark Norman for inviting me over to your place to do the podcast. You got I don't. All right, so, the bet took place. The bet took place, and what I didn't. First of all, there's no way in my mind I expected to lose that bet. For one of them to be below obese was fucking beyond incomprehensible. For both of them. It was a sure thing for me. It was a sure thing. I mean, in terms of bag of bets like we do on Punch Drunk, this one, a sporting event, fucking golden. I got it in the bag. Of course they're not both going to be under obese. And I guess they are. I mean, I'm hoping that tomorrow they're going to weigh in and they're going to be a little bigger. And maybe Segura will only be 6 feet tall. If he's 6 feet tall, he's right on the border right now of obese or not obese. It's that 6'1 thing that gets him under. 6 feet, he gains about a point and a half on his BMI. That's one of my only hopes. That tape measure. If he's 5'11, then I'm good. But it doesn't seem like people are believing that. But Segura said he was 5'11. And now I got these people fucking threatening me on social media. I've got people threatening me and telling me like to call me Welcher. We haven't even had the two weigh-ins yet. We're supposed to have three weigh-ins, but fine. Forgo the first one. The first, I assume they did that one at home. At Rogan, second and third. 2 days in a row. They got it. So I haven't even officially lost yet. I got people threatening me. I don't feel safe. They know what city I live in. And then Segura, these are my friends. My friends are coming at me. I was like, all right. Off chance I lose. What? Oh, we all go to a Dodger game? That'll be fun. You lost some weight. Go, no, don't have a Dodger dog. Don't have the extra large one. Bert Kreischer eats barbecue fucking seven times a week. How in the world does he lose 15 pounds? I mean, how does that happen? And then I got my friends hitting me up for fucking, they want first class tickets to Europe. I don't know what to do. I can't fucking, I'm flustered. I'm flustered for sure. I'm afraid. I can't be here with this. I can't be here with them coming after me like this. They haven't even weighed in the second day, but it's gonna happen. I know it's gonna happen tomorrow. So if they each lose a pound, unless Tom's 5'11, I mean that's a chance. If Tom's 5'11, I got a chance. That would mean. He'd win the bet for most loss of weight, but they wouldn't both be under obese. So fucking Bert would have to. you guys, you haven't dealt with this kind of like backlash. Until you've dealt with it, you haven't dealt with it. That guy who killed the lion in Zimbabwe or Zaire or one of those places. They always use Z's in Africa. So everyone got on him for killing Chutney. Until you find out, oh, there's 80 lions get killed every year. They got to keep the population down and they start killing babies, human babies. But nobody cares about that. So this fucking dentist in Rhode Island has to face death threats all the time. You don't know what it's like to get a fucking e-rage against you. And these people are coming at me. And my phone calls, my texts, it's, you know, first of all, I can't text thread with a flip phone. So every text comes in new. They ask questions like, what does that mean? I have to delete my text after a while because I have to make room for old ones. So you got Segura saying, open up your wallet. You haven't even fucking won the bet yet. But first, I don't even, who watches football? Who watches European football? I can't do this. I can't deal with it. Listen to me. I'm fucking flustered. It's very possible that he's under height. barring that, I don't know. I can't be here for this. I can't be here with them coming after me. I got to get out of here. I got to get the fuck out of here, and I got to get away from this until I can figure out what to do. That's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. I got to get the fuck away from this. Yeah. Yeah, that's my answer. Yeah, that's it. I got to disappear. Yeah, for real. All right, that's what I'm going to do. It's just too much. It's too much, and I gotta clear my head, and I gotta do it away from when anyone can reach me. So I'm not gonna be on. I'll just go dark. I'll just go dark, and I'll disappear. How would people know me around the city? I gotta fucking. I'm gone, you guys. That's it. That's the answer. I'm gone. You're not gonna hear from me for a while. Yeah, you're not going to hear from me for a while. I don't know how long until I can figure this out. How are they both under obese? How are they both under obese? I mean, fine. I'm happy. They're going to live to see. They're both going to live to see 50. Congratulations. Just amazing joy of 53 years old. He'll see his daughter graduate from high school now. Congrats. But, like, the response is not, you're not going to hear from me for a while. I'll be back when I'm back. That's the best answer I can do for you until I figure this out. So I would suggest pressing subscribe to this podcast if you're on Laughable right now, I guess, or whatever, wherever you are. Oh, and on Laughable, until I'm gone, go on Laughable, find my profile, Ari Shaffir's profile, click other podcasts I've been on. So fill in while I'm not here, but listening to me on other podcasts, because I gotta get the fuck out of here. How do they both not become obese? Bert Kreischer literally was eating barbecue at the Rams game the day before. High sodium. You can't just run for 20 minutes or 2 hours, which I don't believe it, but how else did... Hit subscribe to my podcast. Otherwise, I mean, if it's a year, you're going to forget about me. If it's 2 years, you're going to forget about me. So hit subscribe so when I do come back and I upload a new podcast, it'll notify you. What am I going to do? Where am I even going to go? How do I get away from this? I got to clear my head. Yeah, I'm gone, you guys. I'm gone. Stay safe. Have a good 2017. Until I see you again. Hopefully, I'll be back in 2017. If not, you know, somewhere down the road. Yeah, I guess. Stay safe. Miss me while I'm gone. Fuck.
Miss me by my walk, you're gonna miss me by my talk. Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. Thank you. by my prayers. You're gonna miss me everywhere. Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me by my song. You're gonna miss me all day long. Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone,
when I'm gone,
when I'm gone.
Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone.
You're gonna miss me by my ways, you're gonna miss me every day. Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone. You're gonna miss me by my song. You're gonna miss me all day long.
Oh, I know you will miss me when I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.